This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it. Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks. Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile.
He's going to come through.
Sammy in the end zone. Got it! Got it! Touchdown! Sammy Watkins. Touchdown, Buffalo! McCoy. Touch to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
All right, here we go. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive, from inside the Ed Pro Sports Training Center, our One Buffalo studio. I would write a check right now for $100 if we were able to go outside, do the show outside right now.
That would be cool.
Is it possible?
It's so nice out. Late.
It's a little too late to pick up and move.
But at least we could have did it, you know, somewhere in the stadium.
I know. That's what we should have done. We should have done it from the radio booth.
We should have.
Coach might not have been, but you wouldn't be able to see practice behind us.
No.
Because it's beautiful. It's beautiful out here in Orchard Park. We were just out, Donald and I, on either sides of the field. Mm-hmm. I like the way that way we were able to cover everything. Watching today's OTAs, they're back at OTA session number 9, number 10. The final OTA session is tomorrow. And we got to look at what the Bills look like today in the sunshine,
right,
on the turf at New Era now, Field. It was great out there today.
If you want, I'll go and talk to the right people and make that happen.
Today?
No, not today, but okay. Like for tomorrow or something.
Well, we'll see
like
if the $100 offer holds up.
Okay.
But they're outdoors. Now we're indoors, and we got a lot of show coming at you today. Thanks very much for tuning in. Whether you're listening in on the radio, on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550, or if you perhaps are tuned in on MSG on the video side, either way, great to have you here and happy to have you along for what's going to be a good show, we think. OTA number 9 is up and running, another hour on the field for the Bills, and we're going to hear from head coach Sean McDermott coming up at the bottom of this hour. Coach McDermott had a couple of news items on the media today. We'll talk about those in the next couple of minutes here, and then we'll hear the news conference in its entirety at 12:30. Practice ends at 1 while we wait for players to come off the field at 1 o'clock. Rich Cimini is going to join us. He is a longtime reporter covering the New York Jets. And Rich Cimini is going to join us to talk about what's going on down there. Is it a tank or not? We touched on it briefly yesterday, I think. And, well, here it is right here. And one of his latest posts, Rich Cimini said, it's Tanksville, the Jets.
Tanksville.
Tanksville, he calls it. He says, I hate to invoke the T word tanking, but this sure looks like it. We'll talk to him about the Jets tank.
Tanktown and Morristown. I don't know if they're tanking or not. It looks like it to me, though.
Yeah.
It really, truly looks like they are tanking. And they'll say, listen, we're in a full rebuild. But, you know, the one thing, and I was reading up on some of the guys that got released yesterday, mm-hmm. and David Harris, you know, he was very upset and he was vocal about it, you know, and he was like, man, listen, like, if they wanted to release me, why didn't they release me back in March? Like,
right.
Why do it now?
Right.
And that's like, you know, they had this whole thing on, you know, loyalty in the NFL and how the teams are not loyal to the players. And he was like, they could have released me then where I have options to go to a different place and get, you know, maybe some more money.
Yep.
But now you release me now in June, and it's like, you had to know back then you were going to release me.
You should have known.
Right.
Yeah. We'll talk with Rich Cimini about all of that coming up at 1 o'clock. Coming up at 2 o'clock, one of our favorite guests, Mr. Big Stuff, Marcel Darius, going to join us in studio. He has been a pretty regular participant in these OTAs, and we anticipate he'll finish up strong over the next week or so. Marcel Darius with a lot of stuff to talk to us about, including next Tuesday, which is Marcel Darius Day at the Bisons game. Marcel's going to throw out the first pitch. He'll sign autographs on his official Bills photograph for the fans. And we've got a chance for you, the fans, to be part of this tonight. We're giving away a pair of tickets so you can be part of Marcel Darius. It is night. It is next Tuesday night. The Bisons play Lehigh Valley at 7:05 p.m. At Coca-Cola Field, downtown Buffalo. Tickets are available at Bisons.com for Marcel Darius night. But Marcel's going to throw out the first pitch in the game. And if you're interested in those tickets, we're going to have something up on our Twitter site very soon about how to get free tickets. We have an opportunity for you to nab some free tickets for Marcel Darius night at the ballpark in Buffalo next Tuesday night.
They should allow him to pitch to me and let me hit it.
That would be kind of a good pregame,
right?
Actually.
It would be different. It'd be like
you'll
first
be here
ever.
Next Tuesday.
I will be here next Tuesday.
All right, let's run it by him when he's out here. Marcel will be
all
with
right,
us
let's do
when they come off the field. Now, as far as the Bills news of the day, we want to engage with you, obviously. But Sean McDermott had a couple of things to say before the team went out on the practice field today. A couple of interesting injury items. Linebacker Reggie Ragland has been cleared for full practice, and he is out there today in full practice. He's been limited to individual drills for the first few weeks of the spring workouts, coming back from that devastating knee injury suffered just a couple of weeks in the training camp last summer. Ragland been working at the Mike linebacker spot. He remains there behind Preston Brown. You watch Reggie a little bit on your side of the field out there today. What did you see?
He looked all right out there. You know, I didn't really see him. You know, when guys have injuries, you can see if they're thinking about it. You know, they're not going 100% or they might, like, go to make a cut in one direction and you don't see him come out the same way as they would on the other leg, you know. And he didn't look like that out there, you know. To me, he looked like he was feeling kind of good.
So Reggie Ragland, full participation in practice, that is a very good sign. Wide receiver Sammy Watkins working today in individual drills, slowly ramping himself up to speed as he comes back from the foot surgeries. Sammy Watkins not quite full speed, and you would have to imagine they're going to take their time with Sammy Watkins. Donald, I saw Sammy in individual passing drills and working with Phil McGagan today, the Bills receivers coach, and it was just versus air, you know, catch a pass versus air. Sammy made an out cut, and Coach McGagan corrected him and said, hey, we need a sharper cut there.
Yeah.
And Sammy, and you could hear this on the sidelines, Sammy said, hey, you know, that's the first time I've made that cut since I've been back. And Coach McGagan, to his credit, said, oh, yeah, I get that. He said, I got to coach you, though. And it was all good. It wasn't contentious.
Right.
But it was interesting. It was just sort of a insight into where Sammy thinks he is as he goes through these drills, runs certain routes. There's obviously going to be some routes that maybe give him a little bit of a twinge or soreness in his surgically repaired foot. And understandably, he's going to be a little bit careful with that, especially
right.
in practice in June.
And see, if you've ever had an injury, you know, if you have this injury and then you recover, the first time you get back to doing something, mentally in your mind, you don't know if your body is ready to even do that stuff, you know. So when he goes to make that cut, he might feel something, and it might not be like injured steel, it might just be scar tissue, you know, that develops in there. And scar tissue hurts. It really does hurt. And they have to break all of that scar tissue up, you know. So it's going to take some time before you will see Sammy Watkins back at 100%. He has to now do individuals and gradually move up and do more and more. And even into the summer before he gets back to training camp, when he goes, I'm sure he's probably going to go back down to Florida where he's from. And I would believe that he's still going to rehab down there, and he's still going to have to run routes and things so that he's ready for camp. And mentally he's like, okay, I can do that on his foot now, you know. And maybe in camp you won't hear that. Like, it's the first time to be like, I'm good now. And he's making those cuts.
Yeah, so McGagan wanted him to not round off the route, and he corrected Sammy, and Sammy said, hey, okay, but that's the first time I've done that.
Yeah.
It's all good, McGagan said, but I'm still going to coach you, which
right,
is good.
Right, and ultimately the player is the only person that knows how he feels, you know, and the coach is going to coach you. Hey, if you're out here doing this, I need you to make that cut. But the player is like, I understand that, but this is the first time, and I don't – quite frankly, he doesn't want to – if he feels anything in his foot, he's like, I don't want to injure it right now during OTAs. It's like, you know, it's not that it's pointless, but – I don't want to injure it in individuals and OTAs. I want to get to training camp and get to the season.
Yep. Sammy Watkins, he was talked about by Sean McDermott in his news conference today. The head coach of the Bills, addressing the media, was asked about Sammy Watkins and McDermott mentioned that for Watkins, it is still just individual drills.
He started that with Tuesday and with the individual drills only. And he's done a nice job, you know. Credit to Sammy, credit to our training staff and the way he's attacked the rehab with them. And that has to continue, though. This is one step in that process of getting Sammy back to where he needs to be and where we need him to be.
Is this an indicator? I mean, once you monitor, I'm sure you're monitoring the foot, but when is your anticipation that he will take that next step, whether it be it next week or the start of training camp, as far as like full clearance?
Yeah, well, it's one day at a time at this point. It really is. It's one rep at a time, one day at a time, and we'll just take it like that. We're gonna get him into the summer, and then we've got a plan in place, or we'll have a plan in place in terms of what'll take place between now and the time he reports back to training camp. Just like we'll do with all the players, really.
Sean McDermott on Sammy Watkins. That makes sense, all of it, doesn't it? McDermott talking about how we have a plan in place. We'll get him through the summer, meaning I think he means the period between the end of minicamp next week and the start of training camp at the end of July.
You have a workout plan for him. Because they can't just allow Sammy to say, okay, go off on your own. Even if Sammy was to go back to Florida and train, I'm sure they want to make – they're going to have him come back up here because they want to make sure everything is good. He's not having any setbacks or anything like that. Or he might stay up here. I don't know what he's going to do, you know, but sometimes they want players to stay up here so that they can train up here with the trainers, you know. So I'm sure they have that plan in place, whatever it is, wherever he's going to be throughout the summer and that month off between the end of minicamp and the start of training camp, they're going to have a plan in place of this is what we want you to do every day.
So Watkins is limited to individual work. Reggie Ragland, full speed. Zay Jones, second-round draft pick, the wide receiver who got hurt. Was it the first or second day of OTAs? I think
it was
first.
I think it was the first. Yeah.
Might have been the first. Well, he's back, full speed. Zay Jones, the second-round pick, the wide receiver from East Carolina, missed the last couple of weeks after straining his knee. And here's what Sean McDermott had to say today before the practice about Zay Jones.
Yeah, Zay has gotten back on the field this week for us, and each day he's done a little bit more, and so today it'll be full participation. He's done a nice job, and again, you know, for a young player to go through what he went through in his first couple of days, the way he handled it mentally, I thought was phenomenal. Just yes, he was disappointed, more so disappointed in letting he felt you know from his team from an accountability standpoint to his teammates, that was hard on him, but. Credit to him, he got himself right mentally and then got himself right now physically with the work he put in.
Zay Jones back at practice full speed today, just a couple of weeks since he came out with that knee strain. Mm-hmm. So much ado about nothing. I know the day it happened, we're all like, ah. And to be honest, Donald, I didn't think he'd be ready. What did I know? I didn't think he'd be ready until training camp.
I mean, I think I said that on air.
Yeah.
Like, I don't expect to see him. That day when we found out, I don't expect to see him until training camp. Why would they rush him back, you know, and I guess he's feeling good now, you know, and I had a chance to look at him out there on the field too, and he looked good. He did look good out there on the field, running routes, catching passes. He looked like Zay Jones, so I'm happy to see him back out there.
Zay Jones back full speed after straining his knee. So the news again on the injuries, Reggie Ragland full speed, going through the workouts right now at second team Mike linebacker. Zay Jones full speed after straining his knee early on in the OTAs. And Sammy Watkins working in individual, and they're going to take it easy with him as they work him back into the lineup. Tackle Cordy Glenn week to week with his assortment of injuries, which I think is a back, right, with Cordy?
Is it an ankle?
I don't know. I'm going to find out. I'll look it up. Because he was out of the lineup a couple times last year. Mm-hmm. Chantrell Henderson not practicing today with a medical situation. Sean McDermott talked about that. We'll hear McDermott's sound coming up at the bottom of this hour. So OTAs in full swing out on the practice field at New Era Field as we speak right now. The complete Sean McDermott news conference coming up in just about 15 minutes. So that gets us to where we're at. Oh, we're at this too. Jeremy Maclin. The topic of discussion, first 3 days of this week, all reports are that Maclin is now in Baltimore after visiting with the Bills for about a day and a half, moved on to Baltimore. Late yesterday, we got that news. Maclin, who was just released by the Chiefs last Friday, played there for the last two seasons, now talking to the Baltimore Ravens. And Sean McDermott was asked about that, too. The coach asked about Macklin's visit and where the Bills are with Jeremy Maclin at this point.
We had a nice visit. Jeremy and I, as well as some other members of our staff, overlapped in Philadelphia for a couple of years there. Jeremy's a very good person and a good football player, and really that's all I'm going to say at this point. Really don't want to get into the other parts of it. Just want to keep that between us and the player at this point. So,
McDermott didn't want to say much about Macklin's visit. Obviously, the Bills believe they're still in play. No reason not to think so. And I think we were, again, when the Maclin buzz began Monday of this week, actually Sunday when Shady McCoy said it, we were talking on this show about how folks were saying, sign him, don't let him out of the building. I think we both felt that that was unrealistic, to let him out of the building. He's in a unique situation for a talented receiver, probably at or near the peak of his career right now. on the open market in this first week of June, that's unique. That doesn't happen much. And so it behooves him to take a look around and see what's out there, especially coming off the big contract he had in Kansas City.
Right. You know, take all your visits. And teams are going to call. If he leaves Baltimore, another team is going to call. He's going to go down there and see what they have to offer. I would advise anybody in that situation, especially if you're still – anytime a team is calling you and they want to bring you in, go on the visit, you know, unless especially right now, because – players just don't want to – they don't want to go to OTAs. I mean, yeah. That's the reality of the situation. Why sign a contract right now and go practice for 1 week of OTAs? That just doesn't make sense. I can just go ahead and wait it out, sign a contract. You know what? Practice ends at 1. I'm calling up at 1:30. Coach, I think I want to come on over. Can we make this happen? You know, that's kind of how it's – I would think it's going to play out for him. But, you know, it's no rush for him. He's in a unique situation where he does not have to rush and sign a contract. He's going to have multiple teams calling him, and he wants to see what teams are offering him. He's just coming off of a big contract. He was released, you know, he was making – I think he was like a $10 million cap hit against Kansas City's cap, so I'm pretty sure he was making a lot of money out there, and he wants to make sure that he can make at least – somewhere around that, you know, no matter what age he is, I think there's going to be a team out there that's going to give him that.
And we'll see how it plays out. No need for gloom and doom. Again, we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to sign with Baltimore. Just as Shady McCoy was trying to recruit him for here, it's pretty apparent that Steve Smith was trying to recruit him for the Baltimore Ravens. And, again, he's in a unique spot.
He is in a unique spot. And, you know, I would think that Jeremy Maclin right now, I'm sure he talked to Shady about everything. I'm sure he's talking to Steve Smith. Wherever else he goes, he's going to talk to guys. Everybody's going to be trying to recruit him. Like, he's like the number one recruit in the country, you mm-hmm. know. But this is a unique situation. Guys like this don't come out on the market at this time of the year, you know. So when you have something like this, teams are like, oh, man, we still have a need at this position. Do we have money? Let's try to bring him in here, you know, and see if he likes this place.
We'll pay attention, see where it comes out. McDermott described it as a nice visit.
Yeah.
He had a nice visit with Jeremy Maclin. I don't know what that means.
Nobody knows what that means.
Got into a fight.
Definitely not.
No arguments. I mean, part of this is financial too, right?
It is.
There was one report out there that said the two sides got hung up on finances. Well, of course they're going to talk about finances, right? Of course the Bills are going to have a number in mind, and Macklin's representatives are going to have another higher number
in mind.
Here's
the thing. I mean, if anybody has ever negotiated something, when does a negotiation just go smooth in the first time? Like, look, if it goes smooth, something is wrong. Somebody is falling for something, you know, and it's like, all right, this is what we're offering. Okay, that's fine. It doesn't happen like that, you know. Look, this is what they're offering. This is what we want. How close can we get to that number? It's a negotiation, you know. So I wouldn't think, like you said, there's no gloom and doom because he got out of the building and he's going to other places. If they want him, if he wants to be here, he'll sign. You know, it's just no rush for him to sign right now. And so I would think that's what you have right now. I'm in no rush to sign a contract.
And like most front offices, most football departments, the Bills certainly are not going to be married to Jeremy Maclin. I'm talking about Brandon Bean, his staff, Coach McDermott, his staff. They'd be a really good addition, nice addition, make them a better team. But they're not going to, pack it in if they don't get Jeremy Maclin. Yeah. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I don't consider him a make or break guy as far as the season is concerned. Do you? He's a good addition. He would likely improve the receiving core from a year ago. I think that's easy to say. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's a difference maker as far as making the playoffs. He would be a good addition if he comes here.
He would definitely be a good addition. You know, and he, like I said yesterday, he would make the offense exciting. You know, just on paper, like, man, they have Sammy, they have Jeremy, they have Zay, they have Andre, like all of these dudes. They have Shady coming out of the backfield, Charles Clay at the tight end spot. It would make it exciting, but that does not mean that you are going to be in the playoffs if you sign that guy, you know. So it's not a make or break. It's not make or break if you sign him or not. You know, I think for the biggest thing for this team is making sure they have the defense straight, because I think they still have weapons on offense and still can get it done and score what they scored last year. Your defense can shut teams down, and you have a playoff team.
That's the make or break side, the defensive
right.
side. Hey, we're going to get to the Twitter poll and your phone calls in a moment. Can I suggest something? Can I do this on the air for tomorrow's show? Tomorrow's the end of minicamp, right? 10-1 or 11-1 again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
How about you and I name our all minicamp team tomorrow?
Okay.
Is that ridiculous? We haven't seen all the practices.
Right.
We haven't seen the entire length of any of the practices, mm-hmm. either one of us. But I think we have a pretty good sense of who have been standouts. And what brings this to mind off the top of my head, Donald, is when you mentioned Andre Holmes, the more I talk to observers of the team, people who are around a lot, both in and outside the organization, Andre Holmes' name keeps coming up as kind of a surprising, mild surprise, but a standout, a guy who's had a really good spring. He, and little spoiler alert, he would be on my list of the all minicamp team. Now, it's ridiculous. I was making fun of NFL Network's minicamp segment the other day, but well, the all OTAs, that'll be tomorrow. All then we'll OTAs. Have an all minicamp after the minicamp.
After
next
the
week.
Minicamp. Now,
how about that? Can you, would you commit to that right now? Can
I'll
we do all OTAs?
Yeah, I'll commit to that. Now, do we need like one player at each position? One
no.
player from each.
How about
group?
If we come up with a handful, five or six from the entire? No, because it's you know.
Yeah, that would be.
I haven't looked in depth at a lot of these
right,
guys.
Right. All right, yeah. Well,
the
we can
all
do that.
OTA team.
All right.
The John Murphy Show all OTA team.
Maybe they'll publish it on the website.
Ooh, that'll get some traction. That's coming up tomorrow. Right at this time, we'll do our all OTA team tomorrow on the show.
Let's do it.
All right, today's show. We still have to do today's show, and we'd like to hear from you. The phone line's open at 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. So we don't know, obviously, yet whether Jeremy Maclin's going to be with the Buffalo Bills. That remains to be seen. A lot of people were pinning their hopes on him as a major injection of talent for the roster, but there has been a pretty good turnover in terms of talent for the roster. And we want to hear from you in our Twitter poll. Which new addition to the Buffalo Bills lineup do you expect will have the biggest impact on the 2017 season? Not down the line. Some people might want to say Nathan Peterman. I would suggest that that's probably a more down the line, not 2017, maybe later. Mm-hmm. But this year, 2017, which new addition to the lineup do you think will have the biggest impact on the Bills' fortunes? As I said, I'm not convinced that it would have been Jeremy Maclin or would be Jeremy Maclin if he does sign, but there are others, and we've got a list of them on Twitter. You can make up your own if you'd like and ring us up and let us know. Which new addition to the Bills' lineup do you think will have the biggest impact? Is it the safety, Micah Hyde? Right now, 30% of you on our Twitter poll say, yep, he's the guy. Is it the wide receiver, the second-round pick, Zay Jones? Right now, 35% of you say he's the guy. Is it linebacker Reggie Ragland, fully cleared for practice as of today? Right now, 31% of you say he will have the biggest impact. Is there somebody else? Those top three, evenly distributed, 30 for Micah Hyde, 35 for Zay Jones, 31% for Reggie Ragland. Very much different than yesterday's Twitter poll, which was a 9-1 margin in favor of something. But which new addition to the Bills lineup do you think will have the biggest impact? And are we missing anybody? Micah Hyde, Zay Jones, Reggie Ragland, somebody else. I'm thinking you might want to throw Deion Dawkins up on that list as a guy who has a potential to have a big impact on the Buffalo Bills lineup this year. You may want to throw Gerald Hodges up there. Right now he is running at Mike linebacker, according to Sean McDermott. I don't know if it's going to stay that way. You might want to throw Tre'Davious White up there.
Yeah.
He's with the first teamers.
He's with the first teamers today. You know, and everything that I've heard is that those guys, Tre'Davious and Kevon, have been going back and forth. So today I guess he was with the ones. Tomorrow he might be with the twos. It's kind of how things play out right now in OTAs. And it's just competition. That's how they work out the competition. You know, you see it when it's like quarterback competition, especially in the preseason games. You'll see one guy get a start one week, the next guy gets a start the next week. You know, so it's kind of just how things play out. I think that Tre'Davious, though, is trying to make a strong push, at least here through OTAs. From everybody that I've talked to, he's making a strong push for that starting role at the opposite Ronald Darby.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think that would surprise too many either. So which newcomer do you think will have the biggest impact for the Bills? That's our Twitter poll. We offered a few suggestions. Maybe it's Zay Jones. Maybe it's Reggie Ragland getting into the lineup eventually, you would think, as the Mike linebacker. Maybe it's somebody else. What do you think? 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter on our Twitter poll or via comment. Maybe it's Micah Hyde, the safety, will have the biggest impact. But as you look at this upcoming Bills season, who do you think would have the biggest impact on the Bills' fortunes this year? Don't sleep on Deion Dawkins. He's still at left tackle with the ones. Obviously, Cordy Glenn not available yet, not available to work yet, but I'm anticipating that at some point the competition will be on between Deion Dawkins and Jordan Mills at right tackle, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, the competition is definitely going to be on between those guys. You know, we had Juan Castillo on, and he said, listen, this guy he's ready to be a starter in this league. You know, he said, obviously, it's still going to be competition, but he is ready to be a starter in this league, and so I think that, you know, Deion has been playing at the left side, but we know that he can play – up and down the offensive line with the exception of center. And if you taught him that position, he probably can play that as well. You know, he's just that athletic. He can get almost everything done. So
I think that was one of the first things that Juan Castillo said about him last week when he was on the show, his versatility.
His versatility.
He can play everywhere except center.
Yeah, he plays left tackle, left guard, right tackle, right guard. You know, so you can't have enough of those dudes on your team. And so for him, I think he can step in. It's going to be a competition, but if he can prove once we get to training camp, because for me it's always hard with these offensive linemen to really get a sense of what guys really have, you know, because they're not hitting. And defensive linemen as well. Like, you can see the quickness, but once we get the pads on, what moves do you have then? You know, when guys are leaning on you for real, what moves do you have? And then once we get into preseason games. So that's when I can really get a sense of how Deion is looking out there.
Let us know what you think via Twitter at John Murphy Show on the Twitter poll, or we'll take your comments on Twitter or on the telephone line at 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. Which new addition will have the biggest impact on the 2017 Bills? A tweet from Dan Foley. He goes, Micah Hyde. The defensive backfield was so poor last year that even competent play will be a major upgrade. Was the defensive backfield play poor?
It was
shaky.
It was shaky. I think
it got better, and I'm talking about Gilmore now as the season went along.
Yeah,
I've said a couple of times I don't think Ronald Darby was as poor as many people think.
He had a tough season. He wasn't poor. He definitely had a tough season. So for me, you know, I remember there was a point in the season where it was like when passes went up and teams were testing this defense down the field. And every time a ball went up in the air, it was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to feel like that.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I don't want to feel like that. Uh-oh. You know, you want to feel like, all right, that's so-and-so covering him. He's going to be able to do something with that. And I just didn't have that feeling last year with Darby or Gilmore. Gilmore improved once we got later in the season coverage, not in tackling, but he improved in terms of coverage. Darby just didn't show those signs of improvement.
Another tweet, Ray tweets in, very surprised Ragland is last among the three players on the Twitter poll. Despite Brown's big numbers, linebackers were poor last year. Huggy Bear tweets in, Tre'Davious White. Chad Edwards tweets in, Ragland going to shine. Watch and see. I can't get excited about wide receiver play with our recent failures at the position. Hyde should do well also. If I voted in our Twitter poll, I would vote for that guy, Reggie Ragland. And happy to hear that he's back full speed right now. I don't know how it's going to shake out at middle linebacker, at Mike linebacker, but I have a feeling that Reggie Ragland's going to be on the field probably at that spot, Donald. I really do.
I think he's going to be on the field at that spot. I think they would move Preston outside, you know, because Preston has done it in the past, in this league. You know, he talked about it. His first year, he had to do it when guys were going down. He had to move across, you know, those three different positions at linebacker. So I think they'll move him to the outside. For me, I think I would go with Micah Hyde just because Micah is so versatile. Micah can play safety. I think he's really going to be the quarterback of the back end of that defense. He can play safety. He can come down in the box and cover the slot receivers. And I think he can also cover tight ends. And I think that's huge. And even he can help out in the punt return game if need be.
Help me think this through, and I've said it a couple times, at Mike linebacker right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Preston Brown with the ones right now today.
Right now.
Reggie Ragland with the twos. McDermott today talked about Gerald Hodges running in the middle at Mike linebacker.
I'm kind of
– where are we going with this?
Now, I know in OTAs they move guys around a lot, and typically you'll see a guy playing – I remember – maybe my second year, my third year, they wanted to see me work in the slot a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I knew I was playing the Z, which is outside, but they intentionally put me at the H, which is usually the slot receiver, right? They intentionally put me at the H the entire OTAs. So coming into the season, I'm like, I guess I'm going to be playing slot this year, you know? And then we get to training camp, and I was back outside, you know? So
that's just bad coaching.
No, but they really want to get guys.
How does that get you ready for a season?
Because they know what you can do already. They know I had already played outside from my first season, you know? So they're like, we want to get you some work on the inside now. And this was just OTAs. Once we got to training camp, it was back outside, you know?
Okay.
And you have a few weeks in training camp to get back used to playing outside. But we want to see you do different things, you know? And so I would think that's what they're doing right now. Because all of those guys are not going to play middle linebacker.
I know.
So I don't know. I would think Preston will move outside. Reggie will be in the middle as long as Reggie is healthy. And Gerald, I don't know where Gerald is going to play. He might be
a
backup.
I thought he was the Will.
He might be the Will. I don't know. And then you have Lorenzo still who's going to come in. So I don't know. Lorenzo's been running with the ones, I believe, at the Will. He might be on the strong side. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what they're doing right now at the linebacker position.
Because Humber was with the ones.
Yeah, still at the Will. So, I mean, they're going to probably move those guys around all positions to see what combination is the best combination for this team.
I don't know where they're going with that. And, you know, we watch a little practice, and I still don't know where they're going with that. Yeah. All right. Well, maybe some clarity coming up in the next segment. We want to hear from you, by the way. Marcel Darius, by the way, is going to join us at 2 o'clock today. We got a tweet up. And if you retweet it, you get a chance to win Bison's tickets for June 13th, which is Marcel Darius Day at the Bison's game, the Bison's in Lehigh Valley. So look for that on Twitter. Look for Marcel on our show at 2 o'clock. He's going to throw out the first pitch,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to challenge him about that.
That's right. We are going to challenge him.
We want an absolute fastball strike down the middle.
If he hits me, I'm charging the mound.
You should make sure we talk about that, too. Rich Cimini is going to join us at 1 to talk about the Jets, what appears to be the mess with the New York Jets. And, again, we want to hear from you about which newcomer will have the biggest impact on the upcoming season. You can vote in our Twitter poll, tweet in on that, or give us a call at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Coming up next, Sean McDermott will hear his entire news conference from earlier this morning. Everything you want to know about the Bills as the OTAs wind down. That's coming up next on the show. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Yes, we're back. John Murphy, Donald Jones, live from One Bills Drive, talking about the OTAs, OTA session number 9 of 10 going on as we speak outside in the sunshine over the across the parking lot at New Era Field. We're in here today. We're going to hear a couple of comments later on in the show from players coming off the field. Expect to hear from, I think, Reggie Ragland and I'm not sure who else, maybe Sharice Wright.
That'd
Did you get enough Sharice Wright?
If you don't know Sharice right now.
Yeah, he's been all over. Good for him. It's
CNBC,
a great story.
ESPN. It is a great story. I mean, who would have done that? I told, I was telling my father, he was like, there was no other flights.
Yeah.
I was like, I guess not, man. I'm sure he would have chose to just pay for that flight, $1,000, rather than to pay an Uber and have an 8-hour, yeah, 9-hour ride.
Yeah, $900.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Sean McDermott, we're going to hear him in a second talk about it today as well. Want to know what you think about the newcomers to the Buffalo roster, who's going to have the biggest impact. That's our Twitter poll. That's what we're talking about on the telephones. If you care to join us at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Which new addition to the Bills lineup do you think will have the biggest impact on the 2017 season? Right now, 35% of you say the wide receiver, the second rounder, Zay Jones. 31% say the linebacker, Reggie Ragland, finally getting on the field and today cleared for full practice. 30% say the free agent from Green Bay, the safety, Micah Hyde. 4% say somebody else. Explain. Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A couple of tweets on this. Drew Jacks tweets in, Hyde will help solidify the safety position that has fluxed the last few years and will be a playmaker and traffic cop back there. Don't count out Hodges at Will. Bob Timchek, I would say Zay, but if we sign Macklin or Decker, then Zay's impact will be lessened, plus wide receivers usually struggle in rookie year. He brings up Eric Decker. Hmm. Right now, not yet a free agent, but available for trade.
Available for trade, right?
Yeah. I don't imagine the Bills are interested in trading for Eric Decker, but should they be interested in Eric Decker, especially if they don't get Jeremy Macklin?
I think if you don't end up signing Macklin and Decker is released, then you can go after him. But you're not going to trade for a guy with that injury.
Right.
You know, that just doesn't make sense. Like, I don't care if he passes a physical. You're still going to have doubts. Like, how is that shoulder? You know, and I don't want to trade away anything, whether it's a draft pick, whether it's a player for player. I don't want to trade somebody if I don't know if this guy can last through a season because he had a serious injury.
Yeah, you're older than Macklin, I think, and I don't know, just a different type. I don't know. I'm not as enamored of Decker as I would be of Macklin.
He's a solid receiver.
Yeah.
Macklin is a more explosive receiver.
Yeah, dynamic playmaker.
Yeah, he is a dynamic playmaker. Decker is a solid receiver, and he'll make plays for you, but he's not a guy that you would say, oh, man, this guy scares.
Right.
Scares defenses.
On our questions of difference makers, Mark Liversedge tweets, in all of the above, meaning Micah Hyde, he thinks, will make a big difference, and Reggie Ragland and Zay Jones. But he says, all of the above, excited for the season and becoming a big fan of Coach McDermott. And Derek Babcock tweets in, under the radar pick is the kicker. Carpenter was pretty bad last year. Steven Hauschka, does he make the biggest impact of any of the newcomers this year?
Yeah, I mean, if you have a kicker who is solid, you know, and you don't have to – I mean, anytime a kicker is out there, you're like, please make this, please make this. But last year, it was more than just please make this, please make this. It was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, and so it probably and you know, in a coach's mind, I don't want to have to worry about, I don't know if my kicker is going to make this, so I need to go for it on fourth down. You know, in the coach's mind, he wants to be sure his kicker can make this. I have a consistent kicker who can make it through any win, anything, you know. And so I think the fact that you have Hauschka coming out of Seattle, a place where there's always weather out there, there's always some rain, some type of conditions, and he's played on big, you know, in big moments, you know, and kicked in big moments and kicked in Super Bowls and all of that stuff, that's a huge plus for this team.
He could be the guy. That could be the right answer, the kicker. We'll continue that dialogue as we move through the day. Which newcomer is going to have the biggest impact on the Bills' 2017 season? Let us know either by telephone at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. Or you can do it on Twitter. Vote in our Twitter poll or leave a comment there. Sean McDermott met with the media just about 2 hours ago here at One Bills Drive before the team went out onto the practice field. We want to bring you his comments today. And he started out talking about the Bills meeting with Jeremy Maclin yesterday.
Just a quick note on the Jeremy Maclin visit yesterday. We had a nice visit. You know, Jeremy and I, as well as some other members of our staff, overlapped in Philadelphia for a couple of years there. Jeremy is a very good person and a good football player. And really, that's all I'm going to say at this point. Really don't want to get into the other parts of it. Just want to keep that between us and the player at this point. So with that, I'll turn it over to any questions.
Coach, what do you hope to accomplish by the end of OTAs tomorrow, hitting the ground running with the mandatory mini camp? Like, do you have a specific kind of maybe big picture of we need to be at a certain spot by the end of tomorrow?
You know, and there is a big picture. There's a vision that I want it to look, that we want it to look like as we progress every practice. I wouldn't say that there's a potential sticking point or we have to be by the end of the day tomorrow. What I would say is we have to continue to improve. We do that through the focus on the process, the work we put in, and the work's been phenomenal. The players, first of all, just participation alone has been phenomenal in terms of attendance. That's hard to come by this time around the league, this time of year. So, you know, credit to the players, credit to the staff on that. But the vision is to continue to improve and focus on us.
Sean, you noted that Sammy Watkins is going to take part in the individual drills only. Has he been doing this all week? Is this a first, and is this an indication that, you know, he's on track or maybe even ahead of schedule?
Tuesday, he started that Tuesday and with the individual drills only. And he's done a nice job. You know, credit to Sammy, credit to our training staff and the way he's attacked the rehab with them. That has to continue, though. This is one step in that process of getting Sammy back to where he needs to be and where we need him to be.
Is this an indication? I mean, once you monitor, I'm sure you're monitoring the foot, but when is your anticipation that he will take that next step, whether it be it next week or the start of training camp as far as like full?
Yeah, well, it's one day at a time at this point. It really is. It's one rep at a time, one day at a time, and we'll just take it like that. We're going to get him into the summer, and then we've got a plan in place, or we'll have a plan in place in terms of what will take place between now and the time he reports back to training camp, just like we'll do with all the players, really.
So, Sean, one general question regarding free agent visit or free agent pursuit. You've said more than once, and as has Brandon, that, you know, the idea is long-term vision and building. So how much does that still apply when a guy like a Maclin is in the market or a Decker, guys that are accomplished players and that presumably come cheaply and you're kicking the tires at least. So what does that say just in terms of how you're approaching things?
Yeah, I think it speaks to that. It really does. When we talk about short and long term, you know, this is a good person, number one, and a good football player that, you know, at any point, whether it's a guy we've had experience with, in this case Jeremy, or any other player, we're always going to look to add to this football team guys that have the character we're looking for, the types of skill we're looking for, the DNA, call it what you want to call it. We're always looking to add competition at every part of this roster, and this is no different in that situation.
Is there any delicate balance or dance with the idea that you've got to be conscious of how you spend your money and age of these players and, again, the future versus immediate?
Right. No, there is. There's great consideration given. We've given great consideration like we do, and you've heard me use the term multiple times, methodical and thorough, and no different in this case. There's no knee-jerk reactions. Those are, over time, not healthy and usually put you in a bad position as an organization. So in this case, it's very, very methodical. It's not emotional. It's driven by, again, the short and long-term goals and vision of this organization.
John, how did you feel about Sean and Tyrod sort of publicly recruiting Jeremy, and did that put any sort of pressure on you and Brandon, I guess, to get him in here?
Yeah, we don't look at it that way. I appreciate the fact that those guys, first of all, know and respect Jeremy in this case. LaShawn invited me to go to the game the other night, and I didn't get I was waiting with my bags out front, but he never showed up for the game. We got it. That's a healthy dynamic that we have with a lot of our players, and they've got to know that they've got a voice too, and there's ownership. We respect that. I respect that. So that's healthy. That said, we've got to do what we feel is, again, like you've heard me say before on this topic, in the best interest of this team.
How much did what they had to say, lead you guys to bringing him in?
Bless you. We're always going to listen. I like to believe, a good Lord gave me two ears and one mouth. So I'm going to like to think I'm a good listener. That said, like I said before, we're going to do what's in the best interest of this football team. And sometimes those decisions are going to be agreed with. Sometimes they're not. Leadership at times is lonely. I'm okay with that.
Would you prefer not to hear LaShawn tell everyone on a video the expectation that this guy is a 1,300, 1,400-yard receiver, 90 to 100 catches? It is still the negotiation, and that doesn't seem to help the Bills' bargaining position very much.
The times have changed. 20 years in the league, times have changed, right? And my job's changed, your job's changed. So, do what we can to bring good players on board, and we'll see where this goes.
Coach, with that in mind, you've had Gerald Hodges here for a little bit. Just your initial impressions, and how many positions is he being asked to learn?
Yeah, Gerald's done a nice job. He really has. A veteran player that has skins on the wall in terms of the amount of time he's played in the league. He's got a number of starts, and he's done a nice job. Really impressed with the way he's adjusted schematically just in a couple practices. Really last week, took it upon himself to learn the system and came in this week and showed us that he studied last week when he wasn't in the building. So that's been a good start.
What was the reason, Sean, to release Colby Listonby at this point?
We just felt for us, we're looking to build this roster, and Colby, good person, good player, and this, again, as you've heard me say before, a tough part of the job. For us, it's just about us going in a different direction at this point.
Sean, did you have any conversations with Andy Reid about Jeremy Maclin? Because it's a little surprising that he cut him.
We've had some communication with Andy, with Coach Reid, and those conversations will stay between he and I at this point.
You didn't want to drive to Chicago to pick up Sharif?
Yeah, What a story, you know. That, I mean, just that to me speaks to the beginning signs of building a football team, building a team. When you've got an individual in this case that takes it upon himself to, you know, go through any means necessary to be here for meetings and practice. I mean, that's I love that. I mean, I don't love the fact that, you know, whatever amount was paid for that, but that's between him and Uber at this point, right? But I know Uber is we've got that partnership moving forward, which I'm sure everyone's excited about. But I love the story. I mean, we all should. I mean, that's what building a team is all about, is what guys do because they love one another, right? I mean, at the end of the day, he knows that he's accountable to his teammates, and he knows he needs to be here. And I think that, to me, that action spoke volumes about who he is and who we are.
How did he look in practice that day?
he looked fine, yeah.
When did Zay Jones return, and how has he looked since he's been back?
Yeah, Zay has gotten back on the field this week for us, and each day he's done a little bit more, and so today it'll be full participation. He's done a nice job, and again, you know, for a young player to go through what he went through in his first couple of days, the way he handled it mentally, I thought was phenomenal. Just yes, he was disappointed, more so disappointed in letting he felt you know from his team from an accountability standpoint to his teammates, that was hard on him, but. Credit to him, he got himself right mentally, and then got himself right now physically with the work he put in.
Though you'd prefer to have Zay and Sammy on the field at this point together, you know, through OTAs, are you encouraged the fact that you should be able to see them at least at the start of training camp, and you'll get a feel for what your offense will look like as a whole, as you projected?
Yeah, it's you know, I think I'd be lying if I didn't say I would love to see them now together. You know, that said, things take time, and so you know, this is not the time to rush that process. So I want to make sure that they're both in a good place mentally, physically, and spiritually, and then we get them on the field at the same time and we go from there.
We have time for two more guys.
Where do you envision the linebackers lining up now that Reggie Ragland is healthy?
You know, are you saying specific to names or right now, Reggie, Gerald, and Preston are all working inside. Gerald's working a little bit outside as well. So that's, you know, over time we'll know. That'll work itself out. Competition is good and healthy for all of us.
How much do you envision Preston and Reggie getting time outside as well?
Not as much right now. They're our middle linebacker position, our Mike linebacker position, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to play the best players. The best 11 will play, and if that means one of them, you know, moves, then that'll work itself out over time.
Sean McDermott, his news conference just a couple of hours ago, talking about a variety of topics, including the visit with Jeremy Maclin. Back with more in a moment. Donald Jones and I return to talk about what Coach McDermott said and a couple of other things when we return. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones coming to you live from One Bills Drive. Just heard Sean McDermott's comments, the Bills head coach. The Bills should be coming off the field any minute now after their outdoor practice session at New Era Field, and we'll hear some of the comments from them. Marcel Darius coming up at 2 o'clock. We're going to talk about the Jets tank coming up in a couple of minutes. We talked about Jeremy Maclin a lot the first 3 days this week. He has moved on to Baltimore now. And just like Shady McCoy was the head recruiter for Maclin here in Buffalo, it appears they found their recruiter in Baltimore where Maclin is, talking to the Ravens, and it's former Ravens wide receiver Steve Smith tweeted this out. Look who I ran into. Why does Steve Smith care who plays receiver for the Ravens, Donald? What's his stake in this?
But if you remember yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I was like, man, if if they want to
yeah, you called it.
Really get in, they better call Steve Smith into this thing. And I guess since he played there last, I'm sure he has that still that love for the city.
You'd think he'd recruit for – Steve Smith tweeted out, look who I ran into, and he had a picture of he and Jeremy Maclin. You think he'd recruit for Carolina. That's where his career was made.
Right. But, I mean, how long was he in Baltimore? Two or three
years?
Yeah, so maybe because that's the last place. I'm sure he probably still lives. And he probably still has a place in Baltimore and is there right now, you know, and probably has that love for that city. It's kind of hard. I know a lot of players that have played for the Ravens really love the city there. They love going out in the community just because Baltimore is a tough place. It is a tough city, you know. And and as when you're a player there, especially if you come from a certain area, you kind of you have a taking to that city, and you find yourself out in the community quite often. I know my boy Eugene Monroe was out in the community often. Even Kamar Aiken was out in the community quite often when he was there. And so maybe Steve Smith just still loves the city and still has that love for Baltimore, and they called him in. Steve, we need you.
No updates from Baltimore on Maclin. No updates here on Maclin. Sean McDermott said they had a nice visit yesterday, so take it from there. All right, Jets talk coming up next. Are they really in tank mode, and what does that mean? What does that mean for the Bills? We'll talk with Rich Cimini of ESPN New York coming up after the top of the hour. We'll also start to hear from Bills players as they come off the practice field after today's OTA in New Era Field. So come on back. John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The Buffalo Bills working on the turf field inside New Era Field today for day 9 of their 10-day OTA period. And today featured the return of some key players who've been missing time with injuries. Head coach Sean McDermott says linebacker Reggie Ragland cleared for full practice. He did that today. Ragland had been limited to individual drills during the spring, coming back from that devastating knee injury from training camp last year. Also returning full speed, second-round draft pick Zay Jones, wide receiver, East Carolina, who's missed the last couple of weeks after straining his knee at the start of the OTAs. Wide receiver Sammy Watkins got to work in individual drills, slowly ramping himself up to speed as he comes back from two foot surgeries. Tackle Cordy Glenn week to week. Tackle Chantrell Henderson limited with a medical situation. The final OTA is tomorrow. The Bills begin a three-day mandatory minicamp period next Tuesday. No word on Jeremy Maclin, reportedly now visiting with the Baltimore Ravens after visiting with the Bills on Tuesday and Wednesday. The 29-year-old wide receiver released by the Kansas City Chiefs last Friday in Baltimore. They need help at wide receiver, and Maclin is visiting with them as of now. The Ravens cleared some cap space late yesterday, releasing tight end Dennis Pitta 5 days after he re-injured his right hip. That move cleared $2.5 million in salary cap space for the Ravens. Former Bills defensive tackle Corbin Bryant has a new NFL home. After the last four seasons with Buffalo, Bryant signed on with the New York Giants, adding depth to their group. He played 8 games at nose tackle for the Bills last season. Stanley Cup Finals, Game 5 tonight. The Nashville Predators trying to break serve with the win on the road, going up against Pittsburgh, who now has a 2-game losing streak. 8 o'clock faceoff tonight in Pittsburgh. Tonight's winner have a chance to clinch the Stanley Cup in Game 6 on Sunday night in Nashville. And if there's a Game 7, it will be Wednesday back in Pittsburgh. And one victory left for the Golden State Warriors to claim another NBA title. Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, and the rest of the Warriors will say they're the best team ever if they move on to win it. They move to the brink of the finals victory with a 118-113 win over the Cavs in Game 3 of the NBA Finals last night. Warriors 15-0 in the postseason. Here's where we talk about the NBA. Last night's game. We're not going to talk about this for long. Great game last night. Finally, we get a good game, Donald Jones.
Finally.
And I, you know, usually when you watch sports and if you watch basketball, during the course of a game, there might be 3, 4, maybe if you're lucky, a half a dozen times during the course of a game where you would say, whoa. I bet that happened to me 20 times in last night's game. Just audible gasps, just like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, 20 times, several different players. Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Curry, Kevin Durant. I bet there were 20 times watching that game last night when I was like, whoa.
I mean, shots just going up from everywhere. Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
You know, I remember halftime, he was like 5 of 7 from three. Like, these dudes are amazing, you know. And we talk about football players. Football players are crazy athletes. They can go up. We can make crazy catches, do crazy things with our bodies. But basketball players are. They're so tall and they're still so athletic and able to jump so high, you know, and do crazy things. I am so amazed watching a guy like Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You know, like watching Steph and Kyrie too. Kyrie is like amazing. Point guard, for me, he's the best point guard in the game. Natural, across the board, point guard, he is the best in the game. The way he finishes at the hoop is just, it's like just watching greatness, you know. It's just like, oh man, you watch him finish at the hoop, the sweet finger rolls with both hands and things. But Kevin Durant, 7 feet tall, and the things that he can do, dribbling the basketball and shooting and pulling up from anywhere he wants to pull up from, is, man, it's fun to watch.
You're too young to remember Earl the Pearl Monroe, aren't you? Does that name
resonate? No, the name resonates, but I was
– That's what I was saying when I watched Kyrie Irving. And he's better, I think, in finishing than Monroe. Now, Monroe would shake and bake. This is pre-three-pointer, and he'd get his jumper, and he was – I think he's a better outside shooter than Kyrie Irving. But as far as getting open and moving with the ball and being elusive, Kyrie Irving is the closest thing I've seen since Earl Monroe.
It's crazy.
And he's unbelievable. as you said, he's better finishing. And let me say this for the record before we move on our little NBA hiatus here. There's nothing wrong with LeBron. Absolutely nothing. I mean, how much does a guy have to carry on his shoulders? He's great. He remains great. He is competitive. He's tough.
Yeah.
He took that shot to the chops in last night's game and just bounced up and kept playing. There's nothing wrong with LeBron, but he and the Cavs are up against a super team right now, and last night was really, really fun to watch.
And LeBron said it. You know, he said, listen, this is the most firepower I've ever faced in the press conference after the game, and it's the truth. Like, he has never – and nobody – I don't know if anybody – you can go back in the day to the teams back in the day, but I don't know if anybody has faced a team with as much firepower on the team. Like, dudes that can just shoot from anywhere.
Yeah.
Multiple dudes, too. Like, not just one, but every time those guys shoot the ball – it's like, oh, man. Like, you know it's going to go in. If you're rooting against them, you know it's going to go in. You know, when KD came down at the end of that game and he nailed that dagger, I remember when he was coming down, I was like, oh, he's about to pull up. And he did. He pulled up and straight, it was like, oh, my God.
No less than 20 times last night, I'm sitting there watching the game going, whoa.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was an amazing game last night.
It is.
Let's take a call back to football. We'll talk to Tim in Florida. Has some thoughts on Jeremy Mecklen. Hello, Tim. What do you think? Tim in Florida. I thought I could hear him. Are you there, Tim? Hate to lose you, Tim. We had it all set up for you. Okay. Try again, Tim, if you want to. Are you there, Tim? Don't you hear him on the line?
I do hear. He's probably listening to the radio.
Tim. Enough. 803-0550, toll free 1.
Call in, turn the radio down.
Yes,
listen
thank
to
you.
Us.
Standard talk show stuff. All right, it is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are live from One Bills Drive. We're going to talk about the Jets in a minute and whether or not they are in full-blown tank mode. Rich Simini is going to join us from ESPN New York and talk about that. In the meantime, you can weigh in on our Twitter poll, which has been up for a little bit more than an hour now. This deals with the Bills. And look, let's put Mecklen aside for a moment. We don't know how that's going to turn out. It's not over yet. Let's put him aside. And you look at the new additions to the Buffalo lineup. Who do you expect would have the biggest impact? And right now, with a lot of votes in on this Twitter poll, right now 35% of you say the wide receiver Zay Jones is going to have the biggest impact. 30% say Micah Hyde. 30% say Reggie Ragland. 5% have somebody else in mind. What do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Of that group, or is there somebody else? A couple of people have mentioned the kicker, Steven Hauschka, replacing Dan Carpenter, might have the biggest impact. I think that's legitimate. That might be right.
I think I would have to go with Micah Hyde. You know, I just think he's just too versatile. And you have a guy who can do so many different things and be good at all of them. I think he makes the biggest impact for a defense that was bad last year.
Marcel Wilson tweets in, agrees with you, Donald. He says, Hyde will have the most impact in play, leadership, and a hard-nosed attitude that our back end has been missing, playmaker. I'm just thinking about our back end, the safety has been missing. I think Aaron Williams had an edge that he played with when he was healthy. And
when he was healthy, yeah. And you could see it when he went down, they just didn't have it anymore.
So yeah.
It was a tough loss last year, and I think Micah Hyde can fill that void. And don't sleep on Jordan Poirier either.
I've been sleeping on Jordan Poirier.
You have. But I think those guys together.
I think
those
guys together. I mean, he's back there. He's a starter right now.
Yeah, he's a starter.
You line up today and play, he's a starter.
And they know each other from the past, you know. And I think that really helps out on the back end when you have safeties that know each other from they have previous history. I think they're really going to gel on the back end and be able to help out the corners and help out the entire defense.
I have been sleeping on them, though. Mm-hmm. I will give you that. Yeah. Hey, let's move away from the Bills for a second and talk about their division rivals down in New York. Joining us on the Subway Fresh State Hotline, the ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the New York Jets, Rich Simini is with us. Rich, it's John Murphy and Donald Jones. Thanks for being on here with us today.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
You have used the dreaded T word, tank, in a post that you put up the other day regarding the Jets. We shun that word here in the Buffalo regarding the Bills anyway. Is this a full-blown tank? Is that what you think is going on down there, Rich?
Yeah, I mean, it's full-blown rebuilding. I mean, I'm not a fan of the word tanking either, but I did use that word, and I think what I mean by that is their number one priority this year is not winning a championship. Their number one priority is basically tearing this team down and just rebuilding it, trying to develop young players and starting to win in 2018. So, yeah, I think they're tanking on this year to try to enhance their position for the future.
And when you say enhance their position, I'm guessing you definitely – well, I don't know. You can tell me if I'm right or wrong, but enhance their position, especially in the draft, for quarterbacks in a position where the Jets have missed over the last 5 years in drafting a couple of guys.
You're being very, very generous by saying the Jets have missed for the last 5 years. I think they've been missing for the last 40 years at quarterback. But, yes, that is definitely part of the master plan. But first they want to see what Christian Hackenberg can do. He, you know, a second-year player, they invested a second-round pick in him. He did not play at all last year. He's a major project, but I think they want to get a good long look at him this year, so he'll be playing a lot. Probably not on opening day against the Bills, but at some point he will be in the starting lineup. And they want to make a determination whether he can be the future of the franchise. My gut tells me probably, and what I've been told by personnel people, but if he's not, and they're probably going to have a really, really high pick next year in this quarter class. So 2018 looks like it's going to be loaded.
Hey, Rich, I want to get back to the tank concept in a moment, but now that we're into the quarterbacks and Hackenberg, tell me how Hackenberg passed Bryce Petty on the depth chart, if in fact he has. Did I miss that, or did that happen last year?
Oh, yeah, I think you're talking about the perceived depth chart.
Yeah.
I think Christian will be the number two this year to start out. Just because, you know, he was drafted in the second round. Petty was a fourth-round pick. The Jets got a chance to see Bryce Petty last year. He started four games. He did not play well in those four games. In fact, he had the lowest QBR in the league among quarterbacks with at least 100 pass attempts. Granted, he was thrown into a really tough situation. Their offense was terrible last year. But I think the Jets have seen enough of Bryce Petty to know that he's probably best suited for a backup role. Hackenberg is the unknown, the mystery man. And so right now I'd say, yes, Christian is ahead of Bryce Petty.
And I have one more quarterback question for you, and this deals with a post that you wrote today, very interesting, about conflicting agendas, maybe from ownership and the GM level and the head coach, Todd Bowles, which may create some issues down the road when it comes to determining who's going to be under center, huh?
Oh, yeah, this is a mess waiting to happen because, you know, Todd Bowles has say over the lineup. He determines who plays and how much, and he's got to win games this year. I mean, he went 5-11 last year. His rear end is on the line this year. He's got to win games. And, you know, right now the quarterback that gives him the best chance to win is Josh McCown, and that's why I think Josh will be under center when they play the Bills in week one. And ownership clearly does not care about this year. We saw that the other day. They got rid of two, in my opinion, still good players, David Harris and Eric Decker. The only reason they got rid of them was because they make too much money. So I think Woody Johnson is in a total all-in for this rebuild, and I think he's going to say, well, why aren't we playing Hackenberg? Yeah. You know, let's throw Hackenberg out there. What's the difference if we lose two, if we win two games or four games? It really doesn't make much of a difference. So I think I can just see this one developing, you know, on the horizon. This will become an issue at some point in the year.
Rich, it would seem like the writing's on the wall for Todd Bowles. It would seem like, I don't even know if he would make it through the entire season, especially if you have conflicting interests from, you know, management and ownership when they want to totally rebuild. Ty Bowles wants to win games so he can keep his job. It would just seem like the writing's on the wall and he won't be there, especially after this season.
Yeah, the writing is in bold letters on the wall. And it's a tough spot for Todd, you know, and I feel bad for him. You know, he came in, he did a great job his first year. They went 10-6. Could have been 11-5 in a playoff berth if they hadn't collapsed in the fourth quarter against the Bills in that last game. And then last year, they just couldn't get out of their own way. I mean, it was just awful. You know, he didn't do a good job, but they just decided that it was time to, you know, break down the roster and start over. And he's going to be the fall guy, you know, unless they somehow manage to win more than five games, which, you know, I'd be really surprised. But there's no way he's going to survive a 3-13 season. It's just not going to happen. And, you know, so in a sense, he's being used as the sacrificial lamb here. They might develop some good players this year, and it might not just show in the one-loss record. And the owner will go out and find a new head coach to coach the team next year. So it's a tough spot for Todd. I think he obviously knows it. He's just trying to be a good soldier and carry on.
We're on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with Rich Cimini. He covers the Jets for ESPN NFL Nation. Your post about tanking, the Jets maybe tanking the 2017 season, looking to 2018, I believe precipitated by the events of the last few days, including the release of, really, I've said this for years, one of my favorite players in the league, David Harris. Is that strictly money, or is Harris lost a little bit? What do you make of that, Rich?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, yeah, he's 33 years old. Of course, you know, he's lost a little bit. I don't think he is a three-down linebacker anymore. He's been a three-down linebacker his entire career. I think the Jets see him as saw him as a two-down linebacker, which is why they approached him about a pay cut. And, you know, that part I get, but that could have been done in March or February. Why they waited until early June after 8 OTA practices to cut him is beyond me.
Yeah.
He's been with the organization for 10 years. I thought it was a shabby way to treat a player who's just been, I think he's missed one game in the last 9 years. He's never been in trouble off the field. I just think it was a really poor way to handle a good classy guy. And I think the organization knows that. But this is it's a money thing. I think Woody Johnson said to his football people last week, why am I paying $14 million to Decker and Harris this year? We're going to be bad anyway. Why am I paying $14 million for these guys? And so they're getting, Decker's going to be released or traded probably today, one or the other. So it saves Woody Johnson some money, and it just sends a bad message to the locker room because these were two hardworking guys. They could have been good leaders to all these young players. Could have brought them along a little bit. And, you know, just, I mean, they have no defensive signal caller now. David was the quarterback of the defense. They don't have a replacement for him. They're going to have to manufacture a replacement. So I just think for a number of reasons those were bad moves.
Rich, you brought up Decker and possibly being traded or released. What would even be his value on the trade market? You know, I mean, you're talking about a guy who missed basically all of last season with that shoulder injury. Is he cleared to play? What's going on with Decker?
Yeah, it was a shoulder and a hip. He actually had two surgeries last year. Mm-hmm. So he has been cleared. He's been practicing for the last 3 weeks. I've seen him with my own eyes. He looks pretty good to me. Looks like he's one of the best players they had on the field over the last couple of weeks. Of course, it's not contact, you know, so, but I do think he'll be ready for training camp. And, yeah, it's hard to trade a guy because everyone around the league knows you're going to cut him. But if you got a couple of teams that are interested and they don't want to take a chance on him becoming a free agent, you might be able to extract a late conditional pick. And I do think there are some teams interested. I think Baltimore is probably going to be interested. Obviously, it depends on what happens with Jeremy Maclin. They entertained him yesterday. I know the Bills had him in as well. So, however, that fall, if he ends up going to Buffalo, then I think the Ravens will be, you know, very much interested in Decker. I think they'd want Decker to restructure his contract. It's $7 million plus for this year. so they'd probably want him to redo that. And if none of this happens, then they'll just cut him, and it'll end up going to, you know, wherever he wants to go.
Rich, last thing, and this deals with, you know, your post from Tuesday, the Jets, you say it's clear the Jets are looking ahead to 2018 and tanking for 2017. We've discussed this a lot on our show. I think it's pretty obvious the Bills are not in that mode. Some people suggest they should be with a couple of first-round picks next year. But is it possible to truly tank a season in the NFL, given the number of players on the roster? Steve Tasker was out here with us the other day talking about how players would absolutely riot, revolt, if they got whiff of a bona fide tank. Do you think that's possible in NFL football, and what would that look like?
Yeah, it's such a taboo word, and I think this is going to be talked about for a long time, and, you know, the NBA has been dealing with this, you know, for quite some time. Do I think the players are going to deliberately tank? Of course not. I mean, the Jets are going to field a team of, like, guys who are basically from 22 to 26 years old, who are young players fighting for their lives, you know, trying to make a name for themselves in this league. They are absolutely going to play their hardest. Todd Bowles is going to coach his hardest. I'm just saying that what the front office and ownership has done is they're sacrificing wins this year for the hope of being better next year and in years to come. The Jets have always been an organization that has always looked for the quick fix, you know, the Band-Aid, you know, bringing in Brett Favre 1 year in 2008, you know, and that didn't work out. Just bringing in Tim Tebow because they felt they needed a guy who could run the Wildcat. You know, that didn't work out too well, obviously. And just they've done that over the years. And I think Woody Johnson finally said, I've tried everything. Nothing's worked. Let's try a complete teardown. And if we suck in 2017, so be it. It'll make us better in the future. And, you know, the weird thing is, guys, Jet fans are on board with this. I think Jet fans are willing to suffer this year if they could know that they're going to get Sam Darnold in the draft next year, or Josh Allen, or Josh Rosen. So it's going to be a weird year. I've been covering the Jets for 28 years. I can never remember a season, an off season like this, with expectations so low. I don't think they're going to try to lose on purpose. Absolutely not. There's just no way they're going to try to do that. But they're just, the roster is just not built to win now. As simple as that.
Rich, thanks for this. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care, guys.
Rich Cimini covers the Jets. He, as he said, a long time, more than 20 years, New York Daily News, and now ESPN NFL Nation reporter. Mm-hmm. Rich joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. His last point, one of his last points, Donald, about the fans seem to be on board with it. I find that really troubling, I got to say. I do. I think it's that really bothers me. Look, I've been around this franchise for a long time. There have been a couple of horrible years, you know, early on, a long time ago, back-to-back 2-14 seasons. At no time were the fans on board with that. Nobody is happy when you're deliberately or purposefully losing in order to improve your draft position. No real fan is happy
with
that.
No real fan.
Yeah. Now, can I say this? At the risk of sounding outdated, there are some fans who believe that they have all the answers and are smarter than everybody else because they crush their friends in Madden, and they think that's the way to go. And it's just not the way to go in professional sports, any professional sport. That fans, real fans, I don't believe would be happy with a deliberate tank.
It
bothers me.
Yeah, it's just not a good thing, man. Your perception is changed so much when you do something like that. I would think if I was a real fan, and if I was a Jets fan right now, and I'm looking at what they're doing, and it looks like they're tanking, I would probably not be a fan for a good amount of time.
I would
probably
cancel my season tickets. I'll tell you that.
Definitely do that if I'm a season ticket holder. Why would I want to go see that? Like, there are no stars on the field at all.
Right.
I don't want to go see this.
And
there's no intention to win.
Winning.
We know at some point you're probably going to fire the head coach, you know? So it's really going to hurt. It's really going to hurt that franchise. And I don't know how long it's going to take to rebound from that. I mean, I know people are talking about it. You need to get in position to get one of these quarterbacks. If you don't have I understand that. But this is football, and there are 53 guys on a team. This is not like, you know, basketball. You can draft a LeBron James and he'll change your entire franchise. No, it doesn't work like that. Even if you draft one of the best quarterbacks, if you don't have weapons around him, guess what? He is not going to be good. And when you have so many guys on a team, it takes years for you to build a franchise back up if you deliberately tank.
Hate to see it, but then again, the Bills might get two wins out of it.
Yeah.
And flip two losses from last year into two wins, right?
I hope so.
If you're gonna deliberately lose,
if you're deliberately losing,
lose those two at least.
But like you said, I don't. And my biggest thing is, I wonder if Todd Bowles even gets through the season. You know, because there's gonna come a time where he's like, "Look, I'm playing this dude," and management is gonna be like, "No, you know, if they're really trying to tank, no, you're not playing that guy. We want to see this guy on the field," and there's gonna be that conflict, just like out in San Fran, and he's gonna be out of there.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's
bad.
Hate the tank. Mm-hmm. Despise the tank. We're back with more in a moment. We'd love to hear from you about that issue as far as it relates to the New York Jets, if you'd like. Are they, in fact, tanking, and what does that mean? Or about the issue that we started with. We will recap reset the Twitter poll in a moment. Who are the difference makers, newcomers, who are going to make a difference for the 2017 Buffalo Bills? Plus, phone lines open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones, live at One Bills Drive on a beautiful day in Orchard Park. Got a Twitter poll up. Let's take a look at that and think about that for a second. Newcomers to the Buffalo roster. Look, we don't know about Macklin. He's visiting in Baltimore, that last word, so let's count him out. But which new addition to the Buffalo roster do you expect will have the biggest impact this season? That's our Twitter poll. You can ring us up. Let us know what you think. Right now on Twitter, 34% of you say the wide receiver Zay Jones, 31% say the safety Micah Hyde, 30% say the linebacker Reggie Ragland, 5% say somebody else. I'd vote for Ragland. Donald says he'd vote for Micah. What do you make of the even distribution there, Donald? What do you think? I think it's a, you know.
Well, I think people are.
I mean, they're invested in these new guys. I think a little bit.
They are invested. I think, especially on the defensive side of the ball, I think people are noticing or trying to notice that the defense wasn't that good. I mean, for so long we had people saying, man, we need more receivers, we need more receivers. Ultimately, we needed guys on defense, you know, and especially in my biggest thing was the back half of that defense, the safety play. After Aaron Williams went down, it fell off, you know. You did not have – and then you had injuries behind him, you know. And then, you know, Corey Graham was – he wasn't the same player as Aaron, let's just say that, you know. So – it was good for me to see them go out, get a guy like Micah Hyde, a guy who can do so many different things, which is what Aaron was doing. You know, Aaron was the guy who was coming down and covering tight ends and sometimes had to cover receivers in the slot, you know. So I think Micah Hyde is a playmaker. He can also help you out in special teams, which is huge. And like I said, I'm never going to sleep on Jordan Poyer. I think the two safeties together are going to make a huge difference for this defense.
We're interested to hear from you, whether you're listening or watching on TV. The phone line's open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Which newcomer will have the biggest impact on the Buffalo Bills 2017 season? Give us a call on the phone lines or reach out to us via Twitter. Michael Bordenaro reached out on Twitter about the Jets topic and the tanking a minute ago. And he said, you may be too young to recall 1968. After a bad start, fans wanted the Bills to lose so we could draft O.J. It was a battle against the Eagles. I mean, I was a Bills fan back then, a young kid following the Bills. I don't recall, maybe it was because I was young, I don't recall ever thinking, boy, I hope the Bills lose today so get a better shot at O.J. Maybe it was, I don't remember that. I don't remember going down that way. I remember being despondent every Sunday. The Bills won one game that year, 68. I remember hating it.
When my son... You know, my son and I watch the games, right? My son is 6 years old. He's going to be 7 years old. We watch the games. He is so upset when the Bills lose, you know, and it's like, how could you deliberately do something like that?
Yeah.
You know, like these are kids watch you play. Kids come to games. They're so happy to come to games. They're so happy. You know, they cheer for the teams. They want to see the team win. And for you to deliberately lose, it just leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not a good thing.
I don't remember. And again, I was a kid. Your son is what, 7 or 8?
He'll be seven.
So in 68, I was a couple of years older than that. But I, you know, I would go to training camp at Niagara in the summer back then, and I love those teams, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see those. As bad as they were, a one-win team, I didn't want to see them lose every Sunday.
You don't.
It does. I think tank, and this is what it, that's the corrosive result of tanking, deliberately losing, I think. And it's not just young fans. I think it pushes away fans.
Yeah.
And you think, well, what am I doing here? Why you're tanking? Why am I paying full price? So why am I investing all this time and energy if you're not going to win on purpose?
And I got to find a new team. You know what I mean? I've heard people say, I got to find a new team. Yeah. Like, this team is not winning. And not just Bills fans, but, like, fans across the league. I got to find a new team, man. My team is not winning. Like, that's what happens when your team is losing. But if you deliberately tank, it's like, what? Like, why am I even invested in this?
Yeah.
You're not even invested in this thing.
Right.
So why am I?
So this comes up because of Rich Cimini's article about the Jets and whether or not they're in a full-blown tank. When you cut David Harris and ready to move Eric Decker, it certainly looks like it with all the other moves they've made. And it certainly is not good or fair to the coach, Todd Bowles. He's going to be
he's
going to be an innocent victim of this.
He really is. You know, it's like he can't do anything. He has to go out there and coach up a team of basically rookies, you know, 23, 24-year-olds, 25-year-olds. And it, you can't win like that. You can't win with, like, no veterans on your team, no real leadership on your team. You don't have a you just can't win like that. You don't have a quarterback. You don't even know what's going on. He has to go out there and try to coach these guys up. When these guys, yeah, they're going to go out there and play hard, but they also know that management and ownership, these guys don't even care if we win or not.
Right.
You know, so it's going to be a bad thing.
Who's going to make a difference? Newcomers on the roster for the Bills, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-5550. Call here from Edric, who is stuck in traffic. Where are you, Edric? Down in Jersey somewhere, stuck in traffic?
No, right now I'm actually coming back from work, so I'm in Manhattan right now. I'm coming through. I'm in the BQE.
Wow. Okay.
What's that, the Bronx Queens Expressway? Is that what it is? What is
that? I
think
so.
Yeah, the Brooklyn Expressway.
Okay.
Right, okay.
Cool. Glad you're listening. Glad you're calling. What do you think? Who's going to make the biggest difference, Edric?
You know, John, I hate to not play along with the guys. I mean, if I had to pick one, I'd pick Ragland. But honestly, John, I really truly believe the biggest difference maker this year is going to be that coaching staff. We haven't seen them coach a game in McDermott, but I just sense, you know, we're not going to beat ourselves, which was really something that bothered me the last 2 years. And I don't know if you remember, last year I called and I tried to just wrap my head around, you know, Kansas City Chiefs. And I told you that the difference between Kansas City and us, on paper, off paper, was just Andy Reid. That was the only difference. I mean, you know, when you look at that roster from top to bottom, you said Alex Smith is better, and you know, we kind of went back and forth. But I truly believed Andy Reid was the only difference between the Kansas City Chiefs and who we are and what we were the last 2 years, you know. And I really think that with this coaching staff, our team is going to be a lot better. And if I had to pick one, John, I'd go with Ragland. You know, people forget that Ragland was the highest-rated linebacker since C.J. Mosley. And C.J. Mosley, another Alabama guy, he turned out to be pretty darn good.
Yeah, Edric, you make a really good point. And we kind of limited the Twitter poll to just the playing roster. But, yeah, you know, they haven't played a game yet, and I'm reluctant to talk about what a huge difference, but it's pretty clear. Even, again, reinforced today, watching practice today for a little bit, it's pretty clear that it's a different attitude, a different tone, and a different approach that this coaching staff has brought to the team. And it's particularly interesting to see the older guys, the veterans, adapt to it and lock into it. Kyle Williams, Lorenzo Alexander, these guys have been around the league for a while.
You know,
all in. They're bought right in.
And that's actually on the field in practice. I think it's also a totally different, and this is a player saying this, but refreshing approach to the roster itself. You know, and that's not just the coach. That's Brandon Bean and his entire staff. You know, like everything that they're doing now is different than last year, even different from when I was here. You know, when I was here, there would be a couple of guys that, you know, would go on and off the roster throughout the course of right now and on the season, but not as much as you see right now. And the way they are doing things right now, that's how things are going to – that's how teams that win, that's how they do it. You know, they make a lot of different changes from now until training camp, through training camp, even through the season. They still bring guys in, try guys out. So I think the coaching staff, the new GM and the new scouts and all, like, those guys are going to make a huge difference. It just seems like everything is being run – different way than it's been run here since I've been here. I don't know how it was run before that, before I got here, but since I've been here, it's being run a little bit different.
Which new addition will have the biggest impact? Some people, in fact, the leader in the Twitter poll is the rookie wide receiver, Zay Jones, who was back on the field for full practice today. We'll hear what he has to say about his return to practice when we return right after this break. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones on a beautiful day in Orchard Park, New York. The Bills just moments ago off the field after today's OTA. One more OTA to go, and they're back next week for the three-day minicamp. Do you think minicamp next week, mandatory, not voluntary? I can't imagine the practices themselves will look much different, feel much different, but maybe. What do you think?
I don't think so. It's all going to be the same thing. Like, you've heard Coach McDermott say this, and all coaches will say this. This is how we practice. Like, nothing is going to be different next week than it is this week. Like, they – and this is how it's going to be in training camp as well. You know, practices, yeah. Everything's going to be run the same way. The only difference, guys will be hitting because you have pads on now, you know. But
yeah.
Everything is going to look the same.
I'm looking to see if there's any rules.
Any rule changes, yeah.
No, it looks like they can be on the field a little bit longer during mini camp, 10 hours per day. So they will be at the complex. They're not going to be 10 hours. Well, you can have players here, practices Tuesday, Thursday, day off Friday, two practices totaling 3.5 hours on the field per day. Second practice limited to walk through.
3.5 hours on the field?
Yeah, they won't do that.
Jeez.
I mean, maybe break it up, walk through, and then practice.
Yeah, yeah.
At any rate, the rules don't change that much.
I remember my first year. So I told you in rookie minicamp, I hurt my hamstring. Now, once we got to regular minicamps, the last practice, the last play of the last practice, I scored a huge touchdown, and it was like, yes. Like, I felt so good about myself because I hadn't really been making plays for the entire OTAs, and I made that play, scored a touchdown on the last practice, and the offense went crazy because we were in, like, a two-minute drill, and I ended up scoring on them, and I felt so good. I was like, man, I just left, like, a lasting impression on the coaches before we get into training camp, you know. And I got back to training camp. I was out of shape. Oh man, it's funny. I was hanging with Lee yesterday. When I got back to training camp, I remember Lee started. He was like, "You in shape?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I've been working out." And I remember running a 9 route, which is a go route. And I think they threw the ball to me. I was at like 8 yards. I felt like I had run like 40 yards down the field. I was like 8 yards. I was moving so literally like 8 yards. I was moving so slow. I was so out of shape. It was bad.
As a result of your big play.
Yeah.
At the end of minicamp.
I got all excited and stuff. I made a big play. I can go home and chill now.
Not necessarily. Hey, on the field today, full go for the first time in a couple of weeks. Second-round draft pick, Zay Jones, a wide receiver from East Carolina, who missed a couple of weeks with his strained knee. He talked to the media a couple of minutes ago and was asked about the condition of his knee.
Not hurt too badly. Just being smart. You know, it's OTAs, just trying to protect my body and just trying to keep me safe, and it felt great today, though. I felt like I was back to my normal self, and I enjoyed it today.
And what do you have to do when you kind of come in and you have a plan for how you want things to work out and you have a setback like that? Your first setback as a pro, what do you have to do mentally?
You know, that's football, and it's also the people around you, the guidance that I've had with my coaches and the training staff, just being smart and taking extra precaution. Things happen all the time. You know, it could happen to me or anyone. So I'm just being smart with where we are in the season right now and move forward.
What's the relationship with you and Sammy right now? You guys seem like you're getting along all right.
That guy's awesome. I love Sammy. I'm learning a lot from him in such a small time. He's just a good guy. Sometimes you don't know what to expect from, you know, guys who've been in the league for a long time, guys who, you know, have made a name for themselves, and Sammy is one of the most humble people that you could ever meet.
Say, it's always said that rookies need as much time as possible to develop.
Yeah.
And any lost time can be a problem. Do you feel that was any sort of setback?
No. I think it's benefited me with the system and learning the plays and just studying my mental game more, you know, just being in the film room more and just being able to process everything from the meeting room and then now having to translate it onto the field. So I feel like, you know, whether you're hurt or whether you're out there, you just got to constantly learn.
say down here, sorry, but when you see a guy like Jeremy Maclin to mix a visit, and he's a veteran, and that's your position there, what goes through your head?
I was excited. I think that, you know, having a caliber player like him come in to here, whether this is the place for him or he chooses elsewhere, is going to be great. I was excited. I was hoping. I thought he was already here. So, you know, he's a great person, great player. Talk to him for a little bit. To learn from him and Sammy would be a dream come true for me. You know, I don't see it as a threat. We're here to win. Everyone's here to win. The Super Bowl is the ultimate goal. Playoff run is the ultimate goal. So, however we can get that done, I'm all in.
And just to be clear, Zay, you did. You were limited on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Gradually did more and more each week. Maybe just walk us through.
Sure.
You got your feet wet again.
Yeah, I did some individual drills to start with, just to kind of, you know, see where my knee was at and just see where everything went, and then I progressed, and then, you know, we picked up the tempo a little bit with individual drills more, and then today they kind of just let me roll. Yeah.
Okay. See, it is still competitive, though. As you said, you want veterans to learn from, but you also want that – you want to start.
Yeah, of course.
So how does that factor into the thinking of them looking at outside for receiver help?
You know, I feel like with all the receivers that we have in our room, we're natural competitors. I'm a competitor myself. Everybody wants to be great. Everyone deems himself as – you know, that number one receiver, and you have to have that mindset. But you can't be worried about what someone else is doing. All you can do is focus on your job, what the coaches ask of you, and go out and do it to the best of ability. And then whatever happens, happens after that. So whether Jeremy ends up here or wherever he is, I wish him the best of luck. And then if he is here, that's just all the better for us.
Zay Jones, Bills wide receiver, second-round draft pick, handling questions very well, including one from you could hear Sal Capaccio, who
I think he was laying on his back.
what is he doing? And then Jones is looking down at him. That was kind of funny. I don't know where Sal was to ask that question. But he handled the questions well. You know, I had a conversation, I think I told you, with Bill Polley on Sunday night when he was in town for Kelly's thing. And we were talking about the Bills, and Bill follows the league, not just the Bills. He was raving about Zay. Now, Bill lives in Carolina a lot of the time, raving about Zay Jones and what a steal that may have been for the Bills to get Zay Jones. And I told Bill at the time, yeah, he tweaked his knee a couple of weeks ago, and Bill's like, oh, he's got to play because he's really good.
Yeah.
And I can see why people like Zay Jones. We've had him on the show, I think, the day after he got drafted. I guess we'll probably wait until training camp to get him on again, but what a well-spoken, intelligent guy. And let me just say this, too, as I unload all this on you, Donald. The questions about Maclin, understandable, but what's he supposed to say about Maclin? What is Zay Jones supposed to say?
Like, look, if they sign another receiver, we got to compete. That's all he can say because that's the truth.
Right.
They sign another. I can't worry about that. I have to worry about my playbook because I'm a rookie, and I'm trying to start.
Now, is he just saying that? I bet he hasn't given it a second thought. Huh, they might sign Jeremy Maclin. Okay, whatever.
It's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm still trying to learn how to be a pro, so it's not like – you know, I'm just trying to learn how to be a pro here. He still is trying. He just got back on the field today, you know. Like, I'm sure through all of this talk of them signing another receiver, he's just like, yo, I just want to make sure my knee is good.
Yeah.
That's all that really matters. So I can get back out on the field and compete.
I mean, there are other receivers who might think that way, you know. Should I name them? Dez Lewis. You know, other guys. Jeremy Butler. Walter Powell, who might think, what? They're going to sign Streeter? They're going to sign Jeremy Maclin? What about me? Right. I don't think Zay Jones would think about that.
I don't think so. I mean, not being a rookie coming in, I think he's okay. I truly believe he just wants to make sure his knee is okay and compete. You know, I don't know what to expect. I know when I get to training camp, I'm going to compete. I know when I get back on the field, I'm going to compete for a starting spot. You know, whether Jeremy Maclin is out there, whether, you know, I have to compete with Sammy Watkins, I'm going to compete. Yeah. If you're not thinking like that, then you don't belong in this league. You don't belong in professional sports at all.
All right. That's Zay Jones speaking to the media after the OTA workout today. They've got one more OTA tomorrow and then 3-day mandatory minicamp next week. We'll hear from Reggie Ragland in the upcoming hour as he got through a full practice today also. And we're going to hear from Marcel Darius in just a couple of minutes. Mr. Big Stuff on the field as he has been for most of these spring workouts. Got a couple of other things in the hopper for him. Marcel Darius standing by to join us when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. From One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The Bills finishing up about an hour ago in their OTA. 9 OTAs in the books. One more to go. They worked inside New Era Field today, and today's OTA featured the return of some key players who've missed time with injuries. Linebacker Reggie Ragland, He's been cleared for full practice, and he is back. Now Ragland's been limited to individual drills during the spring workouts, coming back from that knee injury. Also coming back full speed, second-round draft pick Zay Jones, the wide receiver from East Carolina. Sammy Watkins got work this week in individual drills as he ramps himself up to speed. The final OTA is tomorrow. The Bills begin a three-day mandatory minicamp next week. Jeremy McClintour now in Baltimore with the Ravens, according to reports. He visited with the Ravens last night and today after spending a day and a half with the Buffalo Bills, a 29-year-old wide receiver looking for his next stop in the NFL after spending the last two seasons with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Ravens may have cleared some cap space yesterday when they released tight end Dennis Pitta, clearing $2.5 million in much-needed salary cap space for the Ravens, who could be looking to add some wide receiver help. Former Bills defensive tackle Corbin Bryant has a new home in the NFL. He signed on with the New York Giants. He spent the last 4 years with the Bills, 8 games at nose tackle last season with 11 total tackles. His season ended on October 30th with a shoulder injury. Stanley Cup Finals, Game 5 tonight. The Nashville Predators trying to win on the road for the first time. Pittsburgh Penguins trying to snap a 2-game losing streak. Game 5, 8 o'clock tonight. Series tied at 2 wins apiece. The winner tonight will have a chance to clinch it on Sunday night, Game 6 in Nashville. If necessary, Game 7 will be next Wednesday in Pittsburgh. And 1 win left for Golden State to claim another NBA title. They moved to the brink of the NBA championship with a 118-113 win over Cleveland last night in Game 3. Warriors are 15-0 in the postseason. They can finish off the NBA's first perfect postseason with a victory in Game 4 in Cleveland coming up tomorrow night. And that's the update from One Bills Drive, John Murphy's show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones in studio, and joining us in studio, hasn't been here in a while. Happy to have Mr. Big Stuff, Marcel Darius. How are you? It's good to have you here.
Man, good to be here, man. Good to be seen. How y'all guys doing?
We're doing great. Nice. I want one of the items in the update, your former teammate Corbin Bryant, who pretty good guy, and he's got a job now in the NFL with the Giants. That's good.
I'm very happy to hear that, man. Good friend of mine. Really enjoyed the time we spent with each other. I already know he knows as well. He's a lifelong friend. Just happy for him to find a home.
He's a good, easy guy to root for, Corbin.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely a guy to root for.
Marcel, just coming off the field, 9 OTAs in. I don't keep attendance. I'm sure the coaches do. But every time I've looked out there during OTAs and the workouts, I've seen you. And you don't have to tell us, but I think you've been here for the majority of the workouts this spring, right?
Yeah, I've made all of them. I didn't do my fair share. And I'm going to continue to do the best I can, of course. Just want to show leadership and, you know, have the guys, you know, show them the right things to do and just kind of learn from my mistakes. And at the same time, we're here to win a championship. And Coach got this playoff caliber everywhere, so it's championship caliber. And we all really shooting for it, and we're doing the best we can.
How you feeling out there? You look smooth. You look quick on your feet. How you feeling?
You know, I'm feeling myself. Slowly but surely, you know, I'll be back to my making noise and getting after it. Mm-hmm. Just feeling myself and getting a better understanding of the playbook.
Well, how much different has this offseason been for you from previous years? You know, you're going into another season here, going into your 7th year in the league already.
Mm-hmm.
How much different has this offseason been for you?
I mean, it's been pretty good. You know, I haven't been taking it for granted. I've been seizing every moment, you know, weight room, workouts, film study, talking with the coaches. Really just, you know, being a pro's pro, understanding being a pro and being a professional. Saying it is one thing, but a professional, this is his profession. And so as this being my profession, I'm being a professional at my profession.
you know? I know what you mean.
So I'm just doing my thing, man. I'm in my zen mode, as Kobe would say.
When did you get in there? When did you get in the zen mode? Did this coaching staff, whether it's McDermott or Leslie Frazier or even Mike Waffle, did they help you kind of plug in maybe and get in this mode?
They have nothing to do with this. I'm doing this for myself and for my teammates, for Cal Williams, a good friend of mine. It's just for me and my kids, just really – It's about us. I'm not doing it for no one else. Just I'm in my zen when I'm focused.
You feel like you need to prove something after last season?
Nah. I mean, I'm pretty sure my reputation speaks for itself on the field. Mm-hmm. If anything, I have to prove to myself. So from that standpoint on, it's just That's why I'm in my Zen mode.
Is there anything from last season that drives you, though, and motivates you? You played, you know, half a season. That's all. Is there anything that you take from that that kind of pushes you forward this offseason and into this upcoming season?
I mean, it's just me, myself. I owe it to myself. I owe it to the Buffalo Bills. I owe it to the fans. I mean, I really want to be the best I can possibly be. Finally put it all together and just see what I can actually do.
You got to feel like you've been close to that peak, right? A couple of years ago, maybe, in the league?
Man, I've been having fun, you know. I've been having fun. Football's always been fairly easy for me. I can say for my sons, you know. So, other than that, football has just been what it was. But now to bring it all together, knowing the playbook in and out, playing the run the best way possible, doing the best I can, pass rush, being the best team player possible, and just put it all together.
How good does it feel getting back into this 4-3 defense?
I mean, honestly, I couldn't even tell you until we get to camp. Because right now, it's like we're playing,
right now you're playing
a tag.
Yeah, pity pat.
It's just like a rough tag. We're putting hands on each other, but I like to lay hands on these. I like to lay hands on people. I can't really do what I want to do, so it's cool for the moment. Get the communication down, knowing what guys are doing, understanding their body language and where we're going. But outside of that, I need to get to camp. I need to hit somebody.
Right. Marcel Darius in studio with us, Bills veteran defensive lineman. There was a lot made the last couple of years about how complex Rex Ryan's defense was. Is this less complex? Is this easier for you guys to look at the playbook and know what your assignments are?
I mean, for right now, it's a very, very basic form of his offense and defense. I mean, just the whole team in general. We're trying to build a gel so we can actually be cohesive with each other, so we can understand our communications, where our defensive backs understand what this defensive back is doing. A cornerback can communicate with the safeties and so on and so forth from corner across all the way across the field. Yeah. Me and Kyle Williams working on our communication, getting it back to our once heyday. So, and Jerry Hughes is just us really getting an understanding of what we want to do with each other, what we want to accomplish this year. So the playbook hasn't been complex at all. We haven't done much with it.
How important is that for you to know what the back half of the defense is doing? Because I'm not going to lie. Like, when I played, especially when I played defense in high school, I didn't know what the defense was doing up in the front. Slants, any of that stuff, I just knew you covered this dude and that's it.
I mean, well, I'll say for the defensive backs, and we're in cover one, and we're in man-to-man. And we know as a defensive line, if they're man-to-man, they may play like they're off a little bit, and then as soon as the ball snap, they jump on them, and then they just halt. They're just not trying to throw their route off, or trying to throw the timing off with the quarterback. So the quarterback is trying to find where they're going. Yeah. And as the midst of all that happening, we got to get there. So it's like, okay, we know y'all in cover one. We know y'all in man. I got to throw my best passers move right now. Kyle Williams, he got to throw his. Jerry Hughes, Shaq Lawson, we got to do it right now. We got to get the quarterback off the spot because he don't know where his receiver's going now because our defensive backs threw him off. I got to get there. Me and Kyle got a game. Jerry got to get him off the spot. Shaq got to get there. So now if we know it's a cover one, we got to throw our best move right now just to get him more just disarray. So it all works together when you know what they're doing from what we're doing, and you got the linebacker sitting in his face, so it just puts a whole – and they got the clock going in their head too. Mm-hmm. After 3 seconds, they just get frazzled, and they just may take off running, and there's nobody around them.
Hey, Marcel, you mentioned a minute ago about how you and Kyle want to get back to your heyday of a couple of years ago. When you're playing –
That's communication.
Communication.
Yeah.
When you're playing well, and what does that look like? I mean, how does that feel to you? And what do you remember about your heyday, I guess, what I'm trying to ask? And how will you know that you're back and you're playing well and playing as well as you can?
I would say with Kyle Williams, it's like telepathic with us. Like, he doesn't have to say – we talk a lot now when we got stunts. We're doing this, we're doing that. We're sliding left, we're sliding right. And I know what kind of move he's going to do. He know what kind of move we're going to do. So before the ball snap, while we're out there now, we're talking. We're communicating with each other. Okay, if we got a Liz or or Ringo or a Flash. I'm like, okay, well, we're going to do this and do that. I'm like, cause what you doing? He's like, I'm going to do this. I said, okay, I'm rolling this way too, so we're going to do this. So it gets to the point we won't even talk no more. It's like when, by the time we get halfway through camp, I just look at Cal, he look at me, and then we down. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm like, okay, I got to play. You got to play? Like, I got to play. I know what you're doing. All right, let's roll.
It sounds like y'all are in a zen together.
Yeah.
Y'all both are in a zen together, yeah. In one zen space.
But it gets freaky like that, man. It's crazy.
Marcel Darius in studio with us. I want to switch gears a little bit. You're in the zen when it comes to football. What about baseball? Next Tuesday, Marcel Darius Day at Coca-Cola Field for the Bisons game. and you're gonna, how did, what's going on there? What do you got going on that day, next Tuesday?
We've just been sitting around, and I've never been to a Bisons game.
Come on.
The weather's getting – I'm going. Hey.
I was just there last Friday. I should have called you. I just went last Friday night.
I never been to a game, so I was like, well, I would like to go. And then we came up with an idea, like, let's just get some of the kids that haven't been. And sure, I won't be there by myself. We get some hot dogs, sit back and chill, try to work on my throwing arm so I don't embarrass myself.
Right, well, that's right. The thing, well,
right?
That's
the thing.
You're going to throw out the first pitch.
You're going to throw out the first pitch. And I threw out the idea of me actually getting up the bat and hitting your first pitch.
I don't know. What if it come right back at me, bro?
I said, if he hits me, I'm charging the mound. And me and Marcel fighting on the mound.
Oh, man.
But I'm bringing the bat. I'm too big.
I'm a teddy bear, man. I don't do that.
With the glove on your hand and that batting practice,
the cage
in front of you, you wouldn't feel safe?
I mean, I would. I just, you know, get behind the cage if the ball gets
too quick. That's all you got to
do. He played some minor league baseball.
Yeah.
Really? So you can get down a little bit.
I can get down a little bit.
See, look at him.
I was in some home run derbies up in Toronto and everything. We have to talk to Jinx about
it. So my fastball would look like a softball, huh?
It probably will. Yeah, it looked like some slow pitch softball.
He's trying to embarrass me. That's what it is.
All I'm going to say is this, though. When you pitch it out there, I'm not gonna just make sure you reach the plate.
I know, bro. Yeah, it's farther than what people think it is. It's farther than what people think it is. I'm just like, all right. And you got to throw down because you're sitting on the oh, my God.
Have you practiced yet?
Nope. I might throw off the top of my bed or something and try to across the house.
You
try
might
to
get in a throw or
on
two.
On top of your bed. How big is your room?
I don't have a I got a nice size room.
Last time you were here, you admired our room with the with the green screen. You're trying
that was pretty trippy, man. To see what's going on the screens right now. It's pretty
that's cool,
pretty
right?
Sweet, yeah.
Now, I said to Murph, I said, I know it's Marcel Darius Day. Do you have, like, some bobbleheads, some Marcel Darius bobbleheads?
You know what? That's a good idea.
Now, what they should do is, because I know how you big dudes, you all think a little different. You know, instead of a bobblehead, it should get like a stomach. And,
I like to call it baller belly.
The
man.
Baller belly. Look at that. Man. It had a stomach.
Girls don't want six packs. They want stacks. You know what I'm saying? So they like the baller belly, man. Just teddy bear. You're all like, go ahead.
You like that, huh?
You know, Coach McDermott threw out the first pitch a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. How did he do?
Well, actually, we have some video that the folks watching on TV. I think he did okay. I think he threw a pretty good pitch when he made his trip over to the Bisons. They'll give you a jersey, obviously, before you throw out the first pitch. Marcel Darius Day, by the way, next Tuesday. Marcel signing autographs on official Bills merchandise and throwing out the first pitch, as Sean McDermott did a couple of weeks ago. It's the Bisons in Lehigh Valley next Tuesday night. It's 7:05 first pitch. You can buy tickets at Bisons.com. And we're giving away tickets, too. If you retweet the tweet that we put up earlier today, about this event next Tuesday, you have a chance to win some tickets. But, yeah, Coach McDermott threw out the first pitch. He looks, not that you don't, Marcel, but he looks like he fits in with that uniform, doesn't he, Coach?
Hey.
Pitch is a little high.
He looks like he can be a nice little shortstop or something.
He looks actually like a second baseman to me. Now I play baseball, so I know what these dudes look like. Hey. Like a Chuck Knoblauch. You don't even know who Chuck Knoblauch is.
Not a clue.
You're
no
right.
Offense, Chuck Knoblauch.
Throwing out the first pitch is difficult, and there have been some pretty notable failures in people, right? You've seen some of these.
Yes, I've seen some viral videos.
There's been some bad ones. 2 Chainz, the worst. I don't even know.
I think 50 Cent was worse.
50 Cent was bad. 50 Cent was horrible. We saw one, Florida State. This kid at Florida State threw out a first pitch. Whoever it was,
ooh,
it didn't
Jordan.
Even get off the –
Oh, and he's supposed to. He came to Birmingham Barons, man.
He played for Birmingham.
And I'm in Birmingham.
There's some bad first pitches out there.
It is some bad first pitches. Is that Lauren Hall? No.
No. Looks like Miss America or something.
Have y'all seen the little ballerina girl?
Nah.
The Chinese chick? Oh, my God, man. She's like.
Just make sure that your pitch doesn't look like these, the ones that we're able to see on the MSG
side. That's John Wall. God, dog, I thought he was an athlete.
I'm telling you, you're going to get up there, you're going to get nervous. And you're going to squeeze the ball or something like that, and it's going to come out just.
This chick right here. Oh, what is that?
Now, there's a tip, a little trick.
He asked for a bet.
It is a trick.
Tell him the trick, Don.
The trick to this is don't throw it from the mound.
Right. Creep up a couple of steps in front of the rubber, and so you don't have to throw it 60 feet.
It's harder if you're on the mound. You're going to be higher than the catcher. So step down a little bit, you know, so you're kind of level with the catcher and just throw it to him. It's a little tip. Nobody's going to know this from up in the stands.
Little food for thought.
Yeah.
People will be so dazzled by having Marcell Dareus on the ballpark, they won't notice if you're a few feet in front of the rubber.
I mean, using a few feet from the rubber or completely on the grass.
I wouldn't go on the
grass. Don't go on the grass. Yeah, don't make it
they
too obvious. When you step down to the bottom of the mound. Yeah, they were, and they still were horrible. So, you know, just a few feet in front of the rubber.
A few feet in front of the rubber, so I don't have to have my back foot on the rubber.
No. Just a few feet in front of the rubber.
What, you think you're going to call a balk or something? No.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Hey, give up the ninth inning.
Next Tuesday night, Marcell Dareus Day, the Bisons in Lehigh Valley. You can go to Bisons.com to buy tickets. You're going to sign autographs. You're going to sign your official Bills photograph for the fans who are there. And you're bringing along some kids, right?
Yeah, we're going to bring some kids along. Some of the kids have never been to a Bisons game as well as myself. So we're just going to have a little fun. Hope they enjoy me as much as I'm going to enjoy them.
Now, as you get older into the league, is that fun for you now? Is it seeming like it's getting more and more fun as you get older, giving back to the community and doing things with kids?
I mean, if anybody ever pays any attention to me, I've been doing that my whole career. Mm-hmm. That's always been a dream for me to always give back. So from the time I've been drafted, I think I gave an abundance amount of money, amounts of my time, more importantly, to the less needed and the kids in the community. I never make things about myself. Mm-hmm. It's just people are just now taking notice for some reason, and it really doesn't matter what people think because it's for me.
Yeah.
It makes my heart feel good. I get to sleep at night, so I can care less about what anybody think I'm doing it for because it's not about none of that.
Marcell, you got the 3-day mini camp next week, and then about what 4.5-5 weeks off until training camp. What's your plan? You going to travel? You going to keep working out? What are you going to do?
I've got a couple of ideas. You know, I've never been to Italy. I wanted to check out Italy and go to the Multi Coast or Rome, or you know, I just want to just check out Europe a little bit, maybe.
Cool.
Or who knows? But that's been a big focal point on my mind so far.
It must be good, Murph, to be about 3 weeks away from going to Italy and say, who knows? You know, I just want to check out so-and-so, and I'm going to go.
You're not that far removed from living that life.
Oh, my God.
You're not that far removed.
You just big-ball me right now, dog.
My bad. I'm just saying.
Really?
A couple years ago. I might say, you know what? I want to go to, like, Virginia Beach or something like that. I'll drive, too. I'm not even going to get a flight. You know, but.
Here you go.
Marcell, it's great to have you back in here. Good to see you smiling
good
and happy.
To see you guys.
And really good to have you here. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me, man. I just feel good to be seen, to be honest.
You're always seen. Marcell Dareus Day next Tuesday at the ballpark. Marcell and the Bills just came off the field from today's OTA session, including Reggie Ragland. Back with full-speed reps for Reggie Ragland after his terrible knee injury last August. Ragland talked to the media and was asked how it felt to take live reps now instead of just mental reps.
That's a big difference from being out there and then watching it on the sideline. You know, when you're out there, everything's moving so fast, and you got to get used to everybody slowing down. But it felt real good just to get back out there after like 9 or 10 months of just sitting and watching. So it felt real good.
Did the instincts just kind of naturally kick back in just in terms of reading things and keys? And
it took me a couple series to get that down. But once it started coming down, I started filling up the gaps and the holes and dropping in my coverage a little bit, so it felt real good.
I mean, having been sidelined so long, I mean, I know it's not even close to a real thing yet, but do you still get an adrenaline boost being out there?
Always. Anytime you got a 300-and-some-pound man running after you, you always get a little adrenaline rush. But for the most part, it felt good just to get hands on them guys and just get guys up off of you and just work on your techniques and get my techniques back down.
Knowing how much you love this game, you know, and having it taken away from you for as many months as you had to be away, is there a different perspective as you step back out here today?
Take nothing for granted. You know, coming out of combine last year, and I was on a high, being projected real high, first round, and then being a second rounder. But it's all a blessing just to get drafted, and it's on. But now I just take, I'm just out there, just having fun, and I'm just taking it day by day.
Do you feel like you are
in that sense? You know, in maybe 6 weeks, you'll be stepping back onto the St. John Fisher campus, and what might be your thoughts of going back to the place where, you know, that happened?
Don't worry about it. My knee is fine. Don't think about it. Just go out there and do what I do and do what I and do what got me here. Just play football and just be myself.
Do you have that trust in your knee now? At what point do you feel mentally you've gotten past that? Okay, it's going to treat me right.
I know when I first got out there today, the very first play was a run play, and I went to take on a blocker, and my knee kind of popped a little bit from the scar tissue in it. But end of the day, I'm trusting what the doctors told me. My knee is just like my right knee. It's just as strong as my right one. My left one's just as strong as my right one. So after that, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm trusting it. So ever since then, I really didn't think about it on the field.
Does this defense feel, you're not in pads, but does it feel like something you can fit? A lot of discussion has been you were drafted for a different defense, and now it's this.
It's football. Football is football. Knowing your gaps and knowing your run fits and knowing your coverage. At the end of the day, it's still football. And I feel like I can fit in it. Even though I've never been in a 4-3, but I'm going to fit in. I'm going to try to make it work.
Do you feel like you're in a competition with Preston and that's your good friend there? You know, what is that like for you?
It's football. Football is always competition. Every year, I'm used to it. Come from Alabama, every year it's competition. So coach going to put the best players out there regardless who it is, if it's me or Preston. But right now, I just know I got to come out here and get myself done, get used to the plays and get everything right. Because Preston got a jump start on me from getting all the reps since I've been gone. But for the most part, it's football. You're always going to have competition.
Reggie Ragland, good to see him out there, cleared for full participation in practice. Maybe one of the biggest developments of today's OTA session. Just happened to happen as the media were out there today that Reggie Ragland was cleared. He said his surgically repaired knee is just as strong as the other one at this point, some 10 months after the injury.
Yeah,
For real, do you think?
He could be feeling that well, but, you know, today is day one. You know, let's see how you feel tomorrow when you wake up and – I read, you know, I think he said that he also, he felt like a little pop or something like that at first, and then it felt good, and it felt like it was the scar tissue kind of breaking up and things like that. So, you know, you just have to see how he feels tomorrow, how his knee responds to it, and if he feels good moving forward, has no setbacks, then, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be year one removed from an ACL. I don't know if it'll be back to 100%.
Right. You know. 10 months.
But it could be. I mean, we've seen guys do it in the past, so who knows? Everybody heals different.
Yeah. Hey, this is disturbing and sad, and news that we actually heard a couple hours ago, and now reports coming out. And this deals with the former Buffalo Bill wide receiver James Hardy, former second-round pick of the Bills. An autopsy in Fort Wayne, Indiana, has confirmed the identity of James Hardy. His body found in a river yesterday. Coroner's office not able to determine the cause and manner of death. The body was discovered in the water in this river in Fort Wayne, Indiana yesterday. James Hardy from the Fort Wayne area, 31 years old, drafted by the Bills in the second round in 2008, came out of Indiana University after his junior year, also played for the Baltimore Ravens before he was released in 2011. A couple of years ago, he got arrested for attacking police officers and was ruled not mentally competent to stand trial. But former Bills second-round draft pick James Hardy, reportedly in Fort Wayne, identified as the body found in a riverbed in Fort Wayne yesterday. Really sad news about a former teammate. You played a little bit. Your paths crossed with James Hardy.
Yeah, our paths definitely crossed. My first year here, he was here, and you know, we talked a lot because, you know, we were in the same room. He didn't actually end up on the team that year, but, you know, just in those couple of months from when I first got here through training camp, you know, I had a chance to kind of get to know him, and, you know, it's sad for he and his family and for everyone that's close to him, everyone who knows him. It's just sad.
Yeah, really sad. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Fake news, real news coming up in a moment, plus more of your phone calls if you'd like to discuss with us about which newcomers will make the biggest impact on the 2017 Buffalo Bills. That's coming up when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones. We come to you live from One Bills Drive, where we just had Marcel Darius blow through here like a hurricane. He was great. He seemed happy, didn't he?
He was, man. He did seem happy. And I'm telling you, when guys come off of a tough season where, you know, you go through a suspension and then you have injuries when you try to get back and you're never really yourself out there, it's nothing like coming back and feeling 100%. You know, like, man, I finally can be myself. Back into a defense where, you know, these guys were very successful a couple of years ago. I mean, these guys seem like they're happy. They really do. Even the guys, when you hear them do their interviews, everybody seems like they're happy. They're excited about the season. We know how intense it is out there on the field and things like that. But everybody just seems happy when you talk to them, you know, and I think that's a good thing. It's a good thing. It seems like guys are happy to come to work, happy to compete. They're making things fun for them out there. Just to hear Marcel come in here and be so happy and just sound like the old Marcel, that's good. It's good to see.
Going into his seventh year, he's only 27 years old. You know, he's still very young. And, you know, he's burned through some chances here. And, you know, had a lot of people trying to help him out.
The thing is,
is the time that it sticks and that he's good and that he plays.
And Marcel knows this. With the new coach, with the new GM, everything is new here. So he won't get more chances. You know, like, they will not put up with things that he has done in the past. You know, and I'm sure he understands that. And I'm sure ultimately he just wants to help this team win. I'm sure Kyle has talked to him, like, dude, listen, all right, I'm approaching retirement here. I want to win, but I need you alongside me for our defensive line to be successful. We need you out here, and we need you at 100%. You know, so let's get this thing done, you know. And I'm sure Kyle had that conversation with him.
The key guy, for my money, on the roster.
Marcel.
Guy sitting right there. A couple of tweets on Marcel's appearance that are fun. Raul Alvarez, good to hear Mr. Big Stuff having fun, laughing again, Pro Bowl season with Kyle again, and never more sports tweets. And I absolutely love Marcel interviews. Keep this party going as long as you like, laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
He was funny. Really funny.
He is. And he has that. People don't really get to see him like that all the time. You know, he does have that personality.
Yeah.
When he is himself. You know, last year he just wasn't himself. He wasn't happy around the building. You didn't really get those laughs and jokes out of him like mm-hmm. that. And he just seems like he's back to himself.
Our Twitter poll is up for a little bit longer. You're welcome to join that. It's up at John Murphy Show on Twitter. Which new addition to the Bills lineup do you expect will have the biggest impact? Right now, most of you, well, the majority anyway, say the wide receiver, Zay Jones. 34% of you say Zay Jones. 31% of you say the safety, Micah Hyde. 30% say Reggie Ragland, who we just heard from over on the practice field a moment ago. 5% say somebody else. Give us a call. Let's discuss. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or via Twitter, which newcomer do you think will have the biggest impact? We'll see. We'll see how that turns out. Time now for Fake News, Real News, presented by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. We were watching in the other room this morning the Comey hearings, Donald, and I heard one of the senators talk about fake – or I think it was even Comey himself say, this is not fake news. I thought, hey, you stole our idea.
Yeah, right.
Truth be told, we stole their idea.
You think we can have that soundbite play every day when we do this?
This is not fake news. So Adrian Peterson signs that contract. He was out on the beach for a long time, signs with the New Orleans Saints. We're in here wondering what's he got left in the tank. Adrian Peterson with the Saints now, charity softball game yesterday in New Orleans. He was asked how old he could play until, and Adrian Peterson said 37, 38 would be a good age, a good number, he said, approaching 40. Adrian Peterson at age 30 last year, 1,400 yards. Adrian Peterson wants to play until he's 37, 38, fake or real? I'm going to say fake. He wants to play five more years. I'm going to say fake. I don't see that, Donald. I don't see that happening. Root for him, like him, admire him. I don't think he can play running back when he's 37, 38 years old.
Adrian Peterson, you know, I think he wants to. I'm going to go fake on this. I think he wants to, but I just don't see it happening just like you. Like, you know, teams are not going there are too many guys coming out of college now, you know, and they're not going to have Adrian Peterson on their roster at that age. And I don't think he will be a resemblance of himself at that age, you know, not the old Adrian Peterson. And this is what you have with athletes. It's so hard to walk away from the game, especially the great ones. It's hard for them to walk away from the game. And the worst thing for me is to see some of, you know, the best athletes of all time just drop off like that, you know. And if he was to play another 5 years, there will be a drop off. I mean, at the running back position, his style of run, you can't play like that, you know. And that's all he's done his entire career. He's not going to change and be a shifty running back or something like that. So I just don't see that happening.
Here's another fake news, real news that does deal with the issue of age. Carson Palmer, Arizona Cardinals quarterback, he said this week he doesn't think his play is going to drop off because of his age. He's 37 years old. David Johnson, their talented young running back, says he doesn't think that's the case at all. He said he doesn't think that Palmer's production will drop off, and he doesn't think it adds any urgency to Arizona's season. That's according to David Johnson. He says, I don't think Carson Palmer's age adds urgency for the Cardinals to win now. Fake? Real? I say fake. It does add urgency. I think the window is closing and closing pretty rapidly for the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah. They got to win now. I don't think they have an answer at quarterback behind Carson Palmer, at least not on the roster. So right. I disagree with David Johnson.
I'm going to go fake on this as well. I think Carson Palmer's, you know, he's going to be done here. Probably after the season, I would think he's done. Now, he might continue to go if they have a great season or something like that. But, you know, I just said it. You know, some of the better players in this league, they drop off. It's hard for them to walk away from the game, and they do drop off. You know, and Carson Palmer, he's had some rough games and big stages. You know, and I would think that the Cardinals at some point, they're going to draft their franchise quarterback, and it might come in the next year's draft, you know, and it's going to be someone to replace Carson Palmer. And so I don't think I think their window is closing. Yeah. I think their window is closing, and they're going to really be in some sort of a rebuild type of mode, not just for Carson Palmer, but Larry Fitzgerald is going to be done too at some point here soon, you know. So I think their window is really closing. That sense of urgency is high for them.
One more fake news, real news, and this deals with Josh Norman, the cornerback from Washington, who made the big free agent move. No, it was a trade, right?
Josh Norman was
I can't remember.
No, he was picked up in free agency.
Yeah, free agency. Got a big move to Washington from Carolina.
Yep.
Highest paid corner in the league, obviously, 29 years old. Josh Norman told the media yesterday in Washington that last year was the best year he's had in his five-year NFL career. Josh Norman, his best season last year. Fake or real? I say that's fake also. I think he has played better for Carolina. Look, I think Josh Norman is a fine corner. I'd put him in my top 10 in the league, maybe approaching top 5. But I don't know that last year he was anything special.
No, he wasn't. I'm going to go fake on this too. He was nothing special last year. I've never had him in the top 5 corners in this league. He can talk top 5 corner, you know, but he doesn't walk that walk. You know, he's just not that type of guy. I've always said he was a system corner. He played very well in Sean McDermott's system down in Carolina. And he talked himself into one of the biggest contracts. You know, he was the highest paid corner the year he got paid, you know. So he's his best season last year. I definitely don't think it was his best season last year. So I'm going to go fake on that one.
Fake, fake, fake. Did we say everything was fake today?
Everything was fake. Fake, fake, fake.
We agreed on all of them.
Yeah.
Fake news, real news, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. I don't think this is fake. The beat reporter for the Baltimore Sun, who covers the Ravens, Jeff Zrebiak, tweeted out moments ago, obviously they have had a practice here today, and 15 minutes ago, Zrebiak tweeted out, John Harbaugh, Ravens coach, said that the Ravens had a great visit with Jeremy Maclin, mm-hmm. but he has left without a deal. Harbaugh said Maclin wants some time to make his decision. And so the Ravens let him out of the building, too, without a decision, leading credence to your theory, Donald, that, and it's understandable that this guy doesn't would prefer not to have to go to anybody's camp this spring, right?
And that's just,
I don't know if he's got any other visits planned, but he's left.
Yeah, we haven't Buffalo heard of any other.
No, I haven't heard
visits planned. Now we heard Brownie throw out a lot of different teams right. that have money and where it could be a good fit. Teams that still need a good receiver to come in. So I'm sure now that he has walked out of two different buildings, there are going to be more teams and more visits that come up here, and he's going to take those visits. He's still not going to be in any rush to sign a deal, and in his mind, who knows? He might have already said, you know what, I know I'm going to sign with Buffalo, or I know I'm going to sign with Baltimore. I'm just not doing it yet.
Harbaugh told the media that Maclin told him he has to head to a wedding. and he needs time to make a decision.
Sounds like Barnage.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it sounds like Barnage. I want to go to Kentucky Derby first. Yeah.
And look, if you got a wedding to go to, let's assume this is all conjecture that Macklin's got a friend's wedding to go to. You don't want that interrupted by somebody throwing a playbook at you. Somebody saying, hey, we expect you back here Monday morning for workouts.
Yeah,
right?
I'm sorry, coach, I got a wedding.
Yeah.
And I want to have fun at this wedding, you know. So, yeah, I'm telling you, these guys, when they get to that age, they are in no rush to get to OTAs. And some guys are in no rush to get to training camp, you know. But it's smart for you to get to training camp. But not OTAs, man. It's like, listen, I can train on my own at home. I can train when I travel to California, wherever I'm going to go. I can find somewhere to train. So they're just not in any rush to get back to OTAs. I don't think he's going to sign a contract for another couple weeks, to be honest with you.
We'll see. That's not fake, or that is real.
That's
Harbaugh.
Real.
Yeah. Harbaugh addressed the media and talked about Macklin's visit there today. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more of the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We heard from Sean McDermott today, Bills head coach, just before the team went out onto the practice field for today's OTA. And Sean McDermott recapped Jeremy Macklin's visit to Orchard Park over the last few days.
On the Jeremy Macklin visit yesterday, we had a nice visit. You know, Jeremy and I, as well as some other members of our staff, overlapped in Philadelphia for a couple of years there. Jeremy's a very good person and a good football player. And really, that's all I'm going to say at this point. Really don't want to get into the other parts of it. Just want to keep that between us and the player at this point.
Sean McDermott on Jeremy Macklin's visit to Orchard Park. Also today, we had a visit in studio from Marcel Darius, who kind of lit up the room when he came in here today. Marcel Darius coming off the field from another OTA. We asked him what's been different about his approach this offseason compared to his first 6 years in the league.
It's been pretty good. You know, I haven't been taking it for granted. I've been seizing every moment, you know, weight room, workouts, film study, talking with the coaches. I'm really just, you know, being a pro's pro. Understanding being a pro and being a professional, saying it is one thing, but a professional, this is his profession. And so as this being my profession, I'm being a professional at my profession.
you know? I know what you mean.
So I'm just doing my thing, man. I'm in my zen mode, as Kobe would say.
In his zen mode. I think all of us could benefit from being a professional about our professions.
Right, exactly. Really and being do. In your Zen mode.
And being know. In the Kobe Zen mode.
We need to get in our Zen mode.
We just heard a second ago from Sean McDermott talk about Jeremy Macklin's visit. Down at Baltimore Ravens OTAs, their head coach, John Harbaugh, just addressed the media, and he talked about Macklin's visit there. Let's listen into what he said.
Yeah, we had a great visit with him. You know, Jeremy got in last night and had dinner with Bobby Engram and got with the guys, I think, and watched the finals, you know, and I think it was great. It was just great the way it worked out, so we had a chance to get to know the players, which is probably it's one of the big factors, certainly. So he was in here all morning, into the early afternoon, and getting to know us getting to know him. So he's going to go back. We didn't press him to stay, you know. You give us way too much credit, you know, Jameson, on that. No. You know, I think talking to his wife is really important. He's got a wedding this weekend, so he wants a little more time to make up his decision. And so, you know, hey, the main thing is you want guys to be happy. You know, you want guys to, if they come here or wherever they go, you want to look back and say, hey, I made the best decision of my life to do that. Well, he just got married, second best decision of his life. And that's what we're hoping for if he decides to come here.
John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach on Jeremy Macklin. So he had a nice visit here with the Bills, according to Sean McDermott, and a great visit with the Baltimore Ravens, according to John Harbaugh. Who wins? Who knows?
Whoever makes him happy,
yeah.
According to John Harbaugh.
Yeah. The money will be a factor, clearly.
Yeah.
The one thing, Donald, and I think I'm going to give you credit on this. You were right all along. you got to believe the plan all along was for Macklin to make at least these two and maybe more visits and mm-hmm. and not jump into anything, especially now with just a couple of practices left before the 4.5-5 week summer break, right? What's the point if he signs with somebody now?
What's the point? I mean, for him to, like you said, he has a wedding this weekend. Oh, I got to get to work on Monday. Like, come on, man. I can I don't want to get to work that fast. You know, I'd rather just sign after OTAs are all done. Then I can get in my playbook. It gives me time to kind of learn everything before we get to camp, the training camp.
I wonder, first of all, we don't know if there's any other teams involved, and we'll find out, I'm sure, over the next days or weeks. Mm-hmm. But secondly, I wonder what will be the deciding factor for Jeremy Macklin. You know what I mean? Will mm-hmm. it be money? Probably a big chunk of it. Will it be playing time and his position on the roster? He likely would be the number one in Baltimore, and if Sammy's healthy, the number two here. That might be a factor, right?
Yeah, that would definitely be a factor. And then you just have connections, you know, and friends. That's always going to come into play. He has a wife now. He wants to go somewhere where he's comfortable, where, you know, his wife might know David Culley's family or, you know, Shady's family, things like that. You want to be around people that you know, come to work with people that you know.
He had Marty Morningweg in Philadelphia as a coach, and Morningweg is down there in Baltimore now.
Yeah.
So there's some connections for him there, too. And finally, let me say this, and it's a lot of attention focused on it because we are in sort of the dry part of June. This is not a make-or-break signing for the Bills.
No, it's not.
Don't believe that.
It's not. You know, if he doesn't end up signing here, they still have some talent at the receiver position. Hopefully Sammy Watkins can stay healthy for the entire season and be Sammy Watkins. And then we'll see what the competition brings behind him with Zay and everybody else. You know, it's going to be a strong competition, even without Jeremy Macklin.
All right. Tomorrow's show, we're going to talk about our all-OTAs team at the end of the OTAs tomorrow.
Right.
I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Brayton Wilson, our Entercom board op, production assistants from George Blast, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, and J.J. Chirito. We're back tomorrow at noon with the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.